Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in the ring. Welcome to another edition of Leaving the Ring. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Gable Montoya, and our producer, David Chen. It's MyBoxingFan.com official radio show. Man, we got a lot of stuff here on Leaving the Ring to talk about. A little later, we're going to be having Daniel Ponce de Leon, who has been named as the opponent for Eurykis Gamboa. A date has not been set, but we're going to have a chance to talk to him a little bit about his thoughts and feelings about him getting in with the Fast and explosive Gamboa. You know, Ponce de Leon had been knocked out in the first round a couple years back against Lopez, Juanma Lopez, and, you know, Juanma Lopez had a recent upset. So, you know, we have a few questions for him. You know, I know some fight fans are questioning whether or not this is the big, is this the right choice to fight for Ponce de Leon at this moment? You know, though he's been an ultra high, he did lose to Broner, but a lot of us felt that he won that fight. So a lot of things here to talk about. Then we're going to have Robert the Ghost Guerrero come on the show and talk to us about his upcoming showdown with Marcos El Chino Madonna over there in San Jose, the HP Pavilion. I'm being told that the ticket sales are going to go on sale next week sometime. Not exactly. They don't know the date. It looked like you were going to be told to me today or tomorrow. Maybe during the show, they'll text me and let me know when the tickets do go on sale, the date, so you guys can go out there and get your tickets and head out to San Jose, California. If you haven't been to the Silicon Valley, man, you need to make a way out here. It's beautiful out here. It's completely different than a lot of other cities. So do make sure you have a chance to come out and see Robert the Ghost Guerrero get down and dirty with El Chino Madonna. I'm going to patch in my co-host, Gable Montoya. Gable, what's up, brother?
Not much, man. I'm just sitting here. Looking at this weekend's fights, it's going to be good stuff, man. I'm excited, and I'm really excited about this Ponce de Leon versus Yuri Gamboa fight. I think it's a great fight. You know, both guys have questionable chins, or, you know, Gamboa's been knocked down a few times. Ponce de Leon's been knocked out. Although that was back in 2008. He's won a lot of fights since then, like seven fights, and eight if you count the Broner fight. But he's back in his natural weight class, 126. Both guys are vulnerable. Both guys are aggressive. I really like this fight a lot. I think it's a can't-miss all-action fight.
No, you can't miss it. And you know what? It's going to answer a lot of questions. This is a big, huge step up for Gamboa, in my opinion, and I think a lot of fight fans in their minds, too, as well, that this is a big step up. Ponce de Leon has been in that position, being knocked out with Juanma Lopez in the first round. We're talking about, I believe it was like 3 years ago, if I remember correctly. But he's progressed, you know what I mean? He didn't stay at that point of level where he was at. He got himself a new trainer. He's been doing new things in the ring. He's been really kind of changing his method of style when he steps into the ring, meaning that he's been changing up with some boxing skills. He's been showing us some type of strategy when he gets in the ring, where before he was really relying on that real awkward, kind of in a mess type of way, but he got KOs at the end of the day. But this time around, the new and improved Ponce de Leon, you're seeing more of a strategic, more of a thinking fighter. You know, now, he's not completely he still got a lot of things to work on. But at the same time, you could say that of Gamboa. But Gamboa, too, has been progressing. He's been looking a lot better, a lot quicker, a lot more fluent, and a lot more comfortable. And he realized he does have the punching power. But Gamboa, too, sets up those big shots that he wants to land. He's not as reckless as he was a little earlier. He's been more conservative. Great matchup, man, all the way around. This should answer a lot of questions for a lot of fight fans. You know, first up, really quick, man, I want to say rest in peace to Nick Charles, who was fighting battling cancer, and we just lost him this past weekend, as well as we just lost Bobby Fischer, who was remembered as one of Bernard Hopkins' mentors. Rest in peace. His name was James Bobby Fischer. 1982 was when he was born, and he just passed away recently. It's a sad, sad day here for boxing fans. You know, what can you say? At the age of 83, he did accomplish a lot. It's always just sad to see fellow boxing people that we've watched and admired and respected move on to the other light. Anyways, man, hope you guys are enjoying your weekend. Let's talk about last week's fights, you know, and then we're going to be talking about some predictions and some breakdowns. We got David Haye versus Vladimir Klitschko. Look, I'm really excited about this fight. I know a lot of Americans are not, and I think the whole reason why the Americans are not so big on this fight here, Gabriel, is because the turnoff. You know, David Haye in the beginning announcing that he was going to fight Vladimir, but then backs out because first it was speculation that the stipulation and contract was not to par what he wanted. It was more of a slave contract in his opinion. Then you heard the rumor of his back. A lot of rumors, a lot of excuses, and it just turned down, you know, boxing fans in general, you know, mostly American fans, they really got turned off by this match. A lot of them are saying, look, I'm not going to get excited, not until I see both these guys step in the ring and face off each other, you know, and I rightfully so. You know, when you cry wolf numerous times, eventually people are just not going to listen. And that's basically what it came down to. But I'm excited. It looks like it's going to forego. I know David Haye did have a problem with the referee of the choice in Germany, but things have been, I guess you could say they've been settled in and all, so because Haye hasn't done any more woofing about it, but this fight looks like it's going to happen. And when it's going to happen, I got to say, this is probably far one of the best heavyweight fights we've seen in a very, very long time, an anticipated heavyweight fight. Are you there, Gabe? Did I lose you?
Hello?
Hello? I don't know what happened.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I'm in a new location, so I kind of had to move to get better reception. This fight, man, I think what's great about it is that you can kind of go at it a few ways, and ultimately you come up with, we just got to see the fight, because it's hard to tell who's going to win, you know. On one hand, you got to say, look at Haye's reign or his time, it's not really much of a reign at heavyweight. He's had like four fights. You know, he had Valuev, John Ruiz, Monty Barrett, and Fraudley Harrison. None of those guys really prepared him to take on a guy like Vladimir Klitschko. But there's really nobody out there like him other than maybe his brother, Vitaly. But at the same time, you got to look at, you know, at Vladimir and say, okay, he's gotten past his losses. He's reigned for a long time. He's got a bunch of defenses. He's more of a relaxed, experienced champion. But at the same time, he hasn't beaten anybody in their prime or in his prime that is like a David Haye. You know, you could say Brewster in the rematch, but that was a busted Brewster. He'd been beaten up and had some injuries. He's not the guy that beat Vladimir Klitschko the first time. So you put all that together, and it's just an unpredictable, very, very good fight. And you kind of have to just go down to the styles. Who are you picking in this one?
Oh, man, you know.
I put it on you before I went there.
You know, I'm gonna hold off because I want to hear what fight fans have to say. I always like to hear what other boxing heads have to say about the fight. You know, boxing fans, you want to call in and chop it up here with us on Leaving the Ring with myself, Dave Duenas, and Gabriel Montoya, you can call us at 347-215-7598. I'm going to hold off, you know, and the reason why is because, like I said, a lot of things to talk about. I want to do a recap of this past weekend's fight. Then I want to talk about, you know, Friday night fights. And then Saturday, heavyweight fight. It's going to set off the 4th of July weekend. It's, you know, I have a pick. It was one I had to really sit back and really think about. But I want to definitely hear what other people got to say, because I always like to hear, you know, other fight fans. You know, in my opinion, I always believe there's no such thing as an expert in boxing. I just say we're spectators, and you know, some of us sometimes have a better pick than others. It's always good to hear what other people got to say, you know. But hey, I want to go with, you know, this past weekend we got a lot of mailbag and a lot of fans very, very disappointed about the outcome of Devon Alexander versus Lucas Matisse. A lot of fight fans felt that this was a highway robbery. A lot of fight fans were very disappointed. They were like, look, first, to start it off, to set off the weekend on a Saturday, you know, everybody's getting up early. If you're a true boxing fan, you're going to get up early and you're going to stream for a fight that was happening in Germany between Felix Stern and Macklin. You know, everybody's saying, hey, Macklin did enough. It was, and then you get some fans saying that it was really close. I got to watch it, and I got to tell you, I have to rewatch it again. It was just that close, in my opinion. You know, I don't know how you judged it, Gabe, but to me, I didn't have a definite, clear winner in that fight, in my opinion.
I had Macklin winning. You know, I could have seen a draw. I couldn't see a case for Stern winning. I mean, I guess you could say he landed the cleaner shots. You know, when he did throw, he's kind of turning into like an Arthur Abraham. You know, he kind of sits behind his guard.
Guard, right.
You kind of bang at him, and then he'll come at you with one or two hard shots. You know, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of power, but technique-wise, they're very clean and straightforward, and they're easy to see, so they're easy to score. But to me, the more telling blows, I mean, this, you know, is about – in the pros, it's more about the telling blows, the more powerful shots that are – and sometimes, you know, who's landing more shots? And I thought in every case it was Macklin. He was landing
Macklin
to the body
was.
A lot. You know, he was splitting the guard. He was taking shots, and he kind of slowed down in the back end. And I guess that's the thing is you just can't leave any room for error in the back end of fights or, you know, even stop punching in a fight if you want to win on foreign soil. Because really the robbery weekend started on Friday with Mauricio Pereira and
Mike Dallas. Right.
Dude,
right.
I thought Dallas clearly won that fight. I mean, there was no question in my mind.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He got straight robbed, and he just seemed so dejected. Like, what do I got to do? And it was the same kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and that was the fight that I think most of us were really excited about. I mean, you know, John Molina was having his headline in that fight, but we were more excited about a very competitive fight between two young guys. One guy had recently lost to Josecito Lopez, which was Mike Dallas Jr., and Mauricio Herrera was up on, striving pretty hard off of his wins, and it looked like he might have been the more output and hardworking guy in the fight, but Virgil Hunter, you could tell the little tweaks and adjustments that he did for Mike Dallas in that fight. And you're absolutely right. I mean, he did win that fight. And a lot of people felt. I mean, I was really surprised at how many people felt. I thought for sure that you would see because of favoritism would kick in. But that favoritism never kicked in. A lot of people say, hey, Mike Dallas was robbed in that fight. And then it goes to Macklin. Like I said, I got to rewatch that fight. Just been so busy, I was only able to watch it once. And, you know, when you're kind of skimming through it and then doing things at the same time, you're catching here and there. And I saw Stern land some pretty good punches, but I saw Macklin just keeping the bout busy. He was always in the mix. He made sure that there was no real air pockets in that fight. But then you move on later on that night. Do you have a chance to look at Alexander in my thesis? And I'm like, you know, look, Alexander was doing – I think he was doing a pretty good job in the beginning of the first rounds. You know, he was using his speed. He was using his length. He was keeping his distance. But little by little, Lucas just kept chopping and got closer and closer. And he was really, really just putting a lot of pressure on that body. And the thing that I liked is that whenever – you know, Devon Alexander, and I don't know if you noticed it, Gabe, was whenever they were in the pocket with each other, Lucas would open up a little bit, go to the body, try to land some uppercuts, but he really waited for Alexander to take that huge step back to get away from those inside flurries, and that's when Lucas would decide to leech that straight right hand and clip him every single time, you know, and you know, to me, what he was doing, he was just systematically breaking him down and then allowing his long arms to catch him at the end of his glove, which I think that really hurt Alexander and multiple times in that fight.
Yeah, I liked the way, you know, Alexander started out, like you said, you know, but it's again, you know, this isn't the amateurs. And he strikes me as a guy that's just working the pads. He's kind of throwing nice combinations, but they're not really... Every once in a while, he'll really step into it and land a hook that means something. But he doesn't really go to the body very much. He just kind of wheels around and pity-pats a bit or just meets the target. So it looks nice. But it's really, you know, look at Matisse's face after the fight. He wasn't hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no.
Whereas Matisse was – I think judges miss this a lot of times or don't really score it. He was killing that body. He was just digging to Alexander's body, bending him over with it. You know, the old timers say making him tie his shoes, and he got away from it a little bit in the back end of the fight, but he had the knockdown. You know, you could say it's close, but really, do you really think that Alexander won? I certainly don't.
I don't.
And these guys saying, well, you can't say robbery because it was a close fight. Well, if it was a close fight, it doesn't mean that the other guy won a couple more rounds. It was close. He lost. The guy that won didn't get the decision. Yeah, that's a robbery. That's what I would call it. And whether you're stealing $2 or $2 million, you're still stealing. And to me, I thought they stole one from Matisse. I don't care about home camera's advantage or any of that. It's comes down to, you know, who had the better fight? Who would you rather be at the end of that fight? Would you like to be Devin Alexander, or, you know, certainly before the decision is announced, or would you rather be Lucas Matisse? I'd rather have been Matisse. He didn't get beat up to the body. He didn't get knocked down. He didn't get made to look bad in a lot of spots in his home state. It just was very clear to me. I don't really get how other people can think that that Matisse lost. It depends on how you score it, I guess, what you like. Pity Pat versus Real, and I prefer Real.
I mean, look, Pity Pat looks pretty good for the first couple of rounds, because between that Pity Pat, there's some speed and there's a little bit of steam. But after that Pity Pat, when there's no speed and there's no steam and your legs are going all over the place, your hands are down, your mouth is open, and you're trying to grab and hold, and the other guy is still putting in the work and he's landing the big shots and your head are being knocked backwards, you got to sit back and go, you know what, this guy is taking over. I liked in so many ways what Lucas was doing. Now, to me, I mean, you know, some people I saw, they were like, hey, he's a slow, methodical kind of guy. His punches are wide. But he did a lot of things that were right. You know, he did have some pretty good head movement. Was he getting clipped? Yeah, but I think more or less what he was looking at was, these are shoeshine punches. They're not going to do a whole lot to me. So that's going to allow me to close the distance a little faster and not be so cautious. You know, Lucas did not look cautious in this fight. And you could tell. Every after that knockdown in the fifth round, he kind of lost his I wouldn't say his will, but he did lose a little steam and might have gassed himself out a little bit, because he went after, you know, Alexander, and Alexander was able to come back. But after that sixth round on up, you saw Lucas tap his gloves. He was waving them on at the end of the rounds, and he knew. And I think a lot of even the fans that were there rooting for Alexander started to overturn and be overwhelmed by what Lucas was doing and started to root for that kid. I mean, everything he did at those end of the rounds, those telling rounds, I also wonder, what would have happened with two more rounds left on that card, on that bout there? What would have happened? Could we have seen Devin Alexander get knocked out? I mean, it looked like a huge possibility for me there, Gabe.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, it was kind of interesting down the stretch. They were kind of trading off rounds. You know, Matisse would do really well, and then he would kind of disappear, and Alexander would outbox him and land some of the flashier shots. Well, but I think Matisse got caught in, I'm going to land that one big shot, because I dropped him once, I can do it again. And he kind of at times forgot to stay steady, you know, and he got kind of lost in space, kind of chasing down. It's not like this was not Chavez Whitaker, where they made it a draw and it was pretty clear that Whitaker won. I mean, to me it was a clear win, but there was a lot of things that Matisse could have done more. He could have stayed with his jab more, doubled it more, stayed to that body, cut off the ring better. You know,
I think what happened
as Alexander, and I think that was the problem. But
yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He could have done more. I think what happened with Matisse was that he smelt blood and he threw everything else that was working for him out the door. I think he was looking for that KO. He wanted that KO. He had mentioned to us, sell our fight junkie, you know, a writer for leaving the ring, I need a knockout for this fight. I don't think I'm going to win on points. And he was absolutely right. He couldn't win on points. You know, he needed a knockout, though a lot of us, including myself, felt that he did the majority of workmanship in that fight. Hey, let's pass it to some fight fans really quick that want to talk about this fight, and then we'll move on to Tavares Cloud with his fight with Mac. I mean, it was a great fight. I loved a lot of the things that Cloud was doing in that fight. I got to tell you, the more and more I watch the guy, the more and more I'm starting just to be a bigger fan of him. I mean, he did a lot of right things in that bout, in my opinion. But let's patch in, I think this is a friend of mine, Candy, man. Candy, are you there, brother?
What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. What's happening?
Oh, you know, man, talking boxing. It's about it, man. 24/7. You know how we do it over here.
Yeah,
how you been?
Yeah, but pretty good. We're just coming into Morongo Casino. We got a weigh-in this evening. We got the Battle of the Badges this Saturday. So this is like our sixth show that we got.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we represent the law enforcement and stuff. So prison guards, and so we're pretty much undefeated right now, so we're just coming down to do the weigh-in today. I got two fighters for Saturday, so we should come out ahead, okay?
What's the name of the fighters that you got going on in this?
We got Carlos Delgado Fino, and then we got Jamal Ratliff. One's out of Orange County, and the other one's out of, I want to say, Corona.
I don't know if you know my my co-host, Gabriel Montoya. Gabe, do you know Candyman? He's a coach and trainer out of the Wild Card Gym.
I don't know if we've met before.
Matter of fact, Gabriel, last night you were at the press conference.
I was.
I'm Candyman. I went over at Wild Card.
Okay. He's in your face, you know.
He's a homeboy. Candyman's the homeboy with the glasses that wears the big old pimp jacket with a cane and the pimp hat.
you just described like six or seven guys I hang out with. That sounds like
what's his name? No, never mind. I don't say pimp.
Pimp.
So, Candy, let me ask you this. You have a chance to watch the fight between Devon Alexander and Lucas Matisse. And if you had, man, what were your thoughts about that fight?
My honest opinion, I think it was a close fight. They should have maybe even gave it a draw, but you know how boxing is. And, I mean, that's just...
Except for that one judge's card. What fight was he watching?
Exactly.
Who's that?
That's my fitness trainer, Alex Chaneo.
Órale, ¿qué pasó? How you doing, brother?
I think you're better off asking him, Dave. He's Mr. Box over here.
Is that right?
You know what? It was a good close fight. I mean, I think the scores were close because I believe it was like 1 point off for each guy, two of the judges, and then one score was just way off.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a big stretch. I was like, I don't know what fight he was watching that, but that may have been some home cooking there. What do you think?
Oh, there was definitely some home cooking there. I mean, this is the third time. I think this is the third time we've seen a gift put on a platter for Alexander there. I mean, I think technically he has three losses on his ledger already.
Not one. And you know what? I've always said, like, Matisse, he's another guy to be watching. He's another guy to watch out for.
You know what I was telling here, Gable, my co-host, just last night? I said, Matisse, to me, reminds me of a lot of Madonna, a tough, gritty guy, but with boxing skills. You know, not the greatest boxing skills, but he's got skills enough, man. They're going to give a lot of people problems. And he's won over a lot of people off of that Saturday night bout, I believe.
Yeah, you'll see him in the future. I'm sure they're going to give him more fights for that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. I'm curious, how do you guys like working out of the wild card now that it's the HBO reality show?
Actually, I haven't been there for about a couple of months. I used to go in the morning due to my work. You know, I was a graveyard worker, so I'd be there in the morning. But now I haven't been there for a couple of months. I really don't know what's going on over there.
I recognize your voice now. We said hi to each other last night, didn't we? I was sitting down, and you came over.
Is
this the guy I'm thinking of? Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw somebody from Wild Card
Did I have Candyman on my shirt?
You know, I don't generally look at other men's clothing that closely, so I don't know.
Everybody else does, so that's how they know me. I might have. But, yeah, I think Gabriel, I've seen everybody there, you know, all the media.
I'm telling you, Gabriel, you can't miss this vato. He's the zoot suitor for boxing, bro. He's the pachuco to all the boxing trainers and stuff, man. This is a guy, Edward De Molmas, all over again right here with Candyman when he steps into the ring, man. Real cool cat, good people. Get no problem.
Yeah, but as far as your question, the wild card, when I have time, I run over to Maywood. I've been hanging out at Maywood. They got quite a bit of fighters over there right now. A few champions over there right now.
Yeah,
so,
they have a really nice mix over there. That and I really like Garcia's gym up in Oxnard. They have a really nice mix of fighters to choose from in terms of sparring and just, you know, I watched like Rios and it was Michael Finney, I think, is one of the guys that he was sparring with. Just really solid.
That kid was right there. That's that young kid out of, where is he at? Like Oklahoma or something? He don't even know that much about boxing. Yeah.
He doesn't watch the sport at all. He just boxes himself.
How did he look
real good. Competitive with Rios, you know. Different style. He's more of a boxer, but everybody unanimously said that the guy's definitely got real power. Like he can kick like a mule. So I'm excited to see him. I don't think I've seen him in person yet. I've seen him fight, but not in person.
Hey, Candy, really quick, you know, because you were one of the guys that was helping out Frankie Gomez, the Pit Bull, in the beginning of his career. I believe you worked with him, what, two or three fights as this cut man. What's your assessment about him? He's going to be fighting on Solo Boxeo Friday night, and on the undercard is going to be Randy Caballero.
I don't know too much about Randy, but as far as Frankie, I haven't really been following up too much on him. I know he's just been fighting these local fights. So I haven't really kept up with him ever since, you know, I left the team. So it's just, you know, I really don't know too much about him anymore. I don't know why he's still fighting in the casinos. You know, he should be fighting out in Vegas somewhere. But I heard that they traded trainers, or he's got a new trainer now, or something like that. So I don't know what the deal is with that. Like I said, I haven't really been following up too much with him.
He's been working with Abel Sanchez up in Big Bear now. I think a lot of it is just he wasn't putting in the effort, to be honest. And they gave him a big signing bonus early on, and the kid's, I don't know, his desire kind of fell off a little bit because of all the money.
Exactly.
I think he's 19 years old, you know. So they sent him up to Big Bear,
exactly.
And apparently he's doing better, you know.
Well, hopefully that desire will come back, you know what I mean, because he did start out pretty good, but I'm sure Abel might change some of his style, you know, get away from that amateur style and go into more of the pro style.
Well, calm him down, too. He tends to go out there and just swing for the fences. There's no
off-speed
hit. He doesn't really use the jab. He just goes crazy, you know, and sooner or later somebody's going to just step back and counter his ass and knock him out.
Right.
You know? Abel's a great trainer. He's an excellent trainer. So I'm sure he can calm him down. They got some good people up there, too. Gennady Golovkin's up there. Canelo was up there training.
Right.
He's
out
of that whole table.
Exactly. And a nice ball. So, but all right, guys.
What's
up? It was nice talking to you guys. We're out here at the casino, so we're going to get ready to go into our win. It starts at 6 o'clock. But Mr. Duenas, don't be a stranger. And Gabriel, you know who I am. And David Chin. We'll see you next time you come out to California.
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter. I'm the Boxing Rabbit.
The Boxing Rabbit. Hey, I think I'm following you there already. I'll make sure.
All right,
brothers.
I'll follow both of you guys.
Okay, brothers. You guys take care, man. You have a good time. Hey, and if you hit big, remember, we go half and half.
Yes, I All right, brother. Take care.
All right, brothers. You guys take care, man. Candyman, really good guy, man. He's a good trainer. You know, he was under the tutelage of El Maestro. This guy, you know, he's been around, man. He's been around the wild card for quite some time. He's had his run with some fighters, and he's done some pretty good things. Hey, listen, we got to call in our translator so that we can call Ponce de Leon here and talk to him about his upcoming fight with Gamboa. So let me call Ernesto, our buddy over here, to see what's up. He's over there at the Fight Ranch, I believe. So see if he answers the phone. Callers right now, they're calling in. They want to talk some boxing. Just stay on hold, okay? Hey, Ernesto, ¿qué pasó, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing good, bro. Hey, listen, I'm going to call in Ponce right now. You're on live. So let me just punch in his number here.
Okay.
And then you got to let him know that he's talking to two pochos, you know.
Okay. Not a problem, man.
Okay.
Come on now. I know you speak just Spanish.
Okay.
I'm multitasking.
I know. You're always multitasking, man.
Bueno.
Bueno.
Ajá.
¿Puedo hablar con el Daniel Ponce?
Sí, yo soy Daniel Ponce.
Ernie,
Daniel, habla Ernesto con la radio. Aquí está David Dueñas. Nomás que quieren que le traduzca porque son dos pochos que no saben hablar para nada.
Daniel, gracias mucho por tener el tiempo para hablar con nosotros aquí en la radio. Mi nombre es David Dueñas con mi co-host Gabriel Montoya de Max Boxing. Nosotros vamos a hablar en inglés y Ernesto va a hablar en español, ¿ok?
Okay.
You know, my first question is going to be is that, obviously, this is a big, big fight for him. He's been in this position before, but when he was in a very anticipated bout, he was knocked out in the first round. But since then, he's progressed. Does he feel like he's in a different place now than when he was when he fought Wilma Lopez?
Daniel, obviamente has estado en esta posición anteriormente, pero desde que hubo la tumbada del primer round, ¿cómo te sientes ahora de hoy de entonces a hoy?
Ay, me siento muy bien. Esa pelea que perdí en el primer round fue una fuerte, fue una pelea de mala suerte, porque pues todos han visto que ni todo eso, han visto que yo he seguido ganando, yo he peleado con los mejores del mundo, también aparte de saber que perdí, eso solo fue una mala noche, y ahora mi próxima pelea es contra Gamboa el 10 de septiembre.
Obviously, I feel that that first round knockdown was not my day. It was a bad day for me. But, you know, I feel really good about the position and obviously about the fight with Gamboa in September.
Now, he's been progressing. He changed his camp, his trainer. Where does he feel now where he's at? I mean, what is his assessment of himself in point of having an off night to where he's at this moment?
Daniel, sabemos que has cambiado de entrenador.
Uh-huh.
y has cambiado varias cosas de en tus entrenamientos. ¿Cómo te sientes ahora y qué te hace sentir un poco mejor a que no tengas un día malo en lo que viene?
Pues cambié entrenamiento, entrenadores, porque pues con los entrenadores que tenía ya tenía muchos años, Joe Hernández, que me ayudó por muchos años, ahora Doug Farley, mi entrenador, tiene otra técnica diferente, como que tiene aparte pues experiencia también, el estilo de él, y me ha ayudado mucho. Ahora tratamos de concentrarnos más en cada pelea, estar bien concentrados y tratar de no pasar esas malas noches, sino ir al 100%.
Obviously, he needed to make a change in his training camp, and he was, you know, he was with his former trainer for quite a bit, but now he's got a different trainer, and they're just pretty much concentrating on just that, not having any bad nights anymore, and he feels really comfortable with where he's at now.
I'm gonna pass it over to my co-host Gabriel.
Has the onus been, you know, this new style of training or a new style of fighting, has it been just about kind of slowing down, taking your time a little more and boxing enough to just set up your power? Before you seemed kind of aggressive but reckless in the way you were aggressive. You don't seem that way anymore.
En tu estilo antes, Daniel, era un poco hacia el frente, o sea, te la rifabas más.
Sí.
Ahora en el estilo que tienes con tu nuevo entrenador, ¿has cambiado eso para ser un poquito más cuidadoso en cuanto a tu forma de atacar?
Sí, pues ustedes han visto el cambio que he tenido. Antes yo ganaba las peleas así como era mi estilo antes. Yo iba a nuquear y siempre ganaba, pero después de esa pelea me dejó experiencia y cambié mi estilo y ahora soy más técnico y pues lo han visto en mis peleas pasadas.
Obviously, you guys have seen the difference. Yes, it's true. You know, I was a little bit aggressive in the past, but now, you know, with my new training, we have been focusing on a little bit more technical, more power.
Is there anybody, you know, would you say that maybe Adrian Broner is the closest thing that you fought to a Yuri Gamboa? Do you see them as similar at all? Or, you know, in any case, just break down what you see in Gamboa, what you think his greatest strengths are.
What was his name? I'm sorry, Gabriel. The fighter's name?
Adrian Broner.
Adrian Broner es alguien similar a con el que has peleado en el pasado, que tiene las mismas atributos que Gamboa. ¿Tú ves eso? ¿Qué es lo que tú crees de eso?
Pues tienen estilo algo similar, porque los dos son muy rápidos y pegan fuerte. A Broner, pues no me conectó ningún golpe fuerte. Algunos golpes que me conectó no lo sentí tan fuerte, porque yo tengo fortaleza, pero tiene estilo similar. Y pues ese estilo es más o menos, ya lo sé manejar arriba del ring.
Yes, they do have a very similar style, but I do think that maybe Gamboa would be a little bit stronger, because Brenner, when I felt his hit, it wasn't really as hard as I imagined Gamboa. But yes, they do have a very similar style.
You know, do you think that this is a test for you facing Gamboa, or is this more of a test for Gamboa? Because, you know, some fight fans are going to always, they're always going to go back to that KO loss in the first round you had.
Daniel, ¿tú crees que esta pelea va a ser una prueba para Gamboa o una prueba para Ponce de León? Muchos fanáticos creen que esa pelea con la que perdiste con Juanma te afectó. ¿Para quién sería la prueba?
Pienso que para los dos. A mí esa pelea no me afectó, sino que no he estado tan activo, la gente no me ha visto tanto, pero si se dan cuenta, yo estuve un año número uno de la AMB, que nunca me dio la oportunidad al título. Estuve 6 meses de la AMB número uno del mundo y Juanma nunca me dio la revancha. Yo estoy ganando todas mis peleas. Después de la de Juanma he ganado 10 peleas al hilo sin perder. Con Gloria me la robaron. Yo pienso que es una pelea de prueba para los dos, para probar si Gamboa ha sido está ahí, o para probar si voy a seguir ahí yo.
I think that it's probably a test for both of us. Obviously, the fight that I had with Juanma, yes, you know, I lost it, but after 6 months after the fight, the Federation never gave me a rematch. I wanted a rematch so that I can, you know, prove to them that it was just an off night. And obviously, I never got the opportunity, but I feel that it's a test for both of us at this point.
Do you think it's...
Estuve un año número uno de la AMB y gané la eliminatoria, la gané en Panamá. Y la eliminatoria la gané aquí en Los Ángeles. Estuve un año AMB número uno y 6 meses de la AMB. Retador oficial y nunca me dio la oportunidad a los campeones.
Yeah, I was ranked number one on the... I can't even pronounce the AMB.
WBA.
¿Qué federación, Daniel?
WBA, number one for 1 year, y WBO for 6 months, number one, and number one contender for world title. So, the champion doesn't have the opportunity for world title. So today is my opportunity for both win this fight.
But look at Ponce, learning it. Hey, well, let me ask you this. Is it wrong for fight fans or even Gamboa or Top Rank or anybody else to think that you're the same guy 3 to 4 years ago? Is that a big mistake for them to think that?
Yeah.
Daniel, Siga, conteste usted, Daniel.
Sí, sí, dime.
¿Usted cree que es un error de que estas gentes crean que usted que está que perdió pues sí, esa noche, y que no fue una noche de mala suerte para usted?
Pues yo pienso que sí. Sí, es bad night. Porque después de eso
me mantuve y seguí siendo número uno por, pues desde esa vez, la primera pelea, fui número uno y ahorita soy número tres del mundo en la OMB y he ganado con los mejores de esa vez. Y no mando la oportunidad, para mí, mi beneficio, que piensen, como beneficio y team que hay lo que me cae.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I couldn't hear Daniel I couldn't hear Daniel's answer. So
can you ask him to repeat it then?
Yeah. Daniel, ¿puede repetir la respuesta porque no lo escuché?
Sí, me beneficia que la gente piense eso porque van a pensar que estoy acabado, pero cuando me vean arriba del ring, no es que estoy ahí entero, siempre. Y siempre son los mejores, son los mejores del mundo. Y tengan la seguridad que lo voy a ganar, Gamboa.
It's a benefit for me. It benefits me the fact that people may think that I'm done, or that I had a bad night that night, or that I didn't have a bad night that night. So once I step in the ring, you know, I'm going to prove to everybody that you know, I'm here to stay, and I've always fought, you know, top contenders. So at this point, you know, I'm just ready.
Ponce, you came up with two guys out of the Maywood gym that you used to hang around with quite a bit, Mike Conchando and Edwin Valero. Now, Mike is semi-retired, kind of out of the title picture. Edwin is no longer with us. I'm curious if you're surprised that you're kind of the last man standing out of that trio and that you're still fighting for a title.
Tú entrenaste con Anchondo y con Edwin Valero. Obviamente, Edwin ya no está con nosotros, pero... a este punto de tu carrera, tú eres el único y el último que está peleando en peleas de campeonato, obviamente. ¿Tú te imaginarías que en estos momentos estarías donde estás?
Pues la verdad que no me lo imaginaba. Yo siempre entreno fuerte. Yo cuando estuve en el equipo olímpico, que fue la Olimpiada, tampoco no daban un centavo por mí. Y soy el que fue mejor, a pesar de que mis compañeros tenían mucho talento. Igual Valero y Mike tenían mucho talento y no daban nada por mí. Sin embargo, aquí estoy siendo luchador por el campeonato mundial y he sido campeón mundial. Mucha presión estar aquí, pero se lo agradezco mucho a Dios.
I'm having a lot of problems with the call, Dave, but he basically, what he's saying is no, he didn't think that he would be here at this point. Obviously, you know, he went to the Olympics. They were very talented fighters, but you know, obviously he's happy where he's at. He's happy to be fighting, and you know, he didn't imagine himself being in this position.
Gabe, you have anything else?
You know, at this point, you know, I just want to know, is the fight solidified or is it just a rumor? Is it actually a go at this point?
Daniel, ¿tienes, hay manera de confirmar de que sí vas a pelear con Gamboa o aún ahorita todavía es un rumor o sí es seguro?
Ya es seguro porque ya hicieron negociaciones con Golden Boy y Top Rank. Entonces quedaron que para fin de semana me mandaron el contrato, ya negociamos la pelea y la pelea ya está. Supuestamente ya Top Rank me dice que el fin de semana me manda el contrato para sumárselo, sale con Golden Boy y ya quedamos de acuerdo que la pelea ya va para el 10 de septiembre en la Atlantic City, Nueva York.
Daniel.
Ajá.
¿Sí está confirmada?
Sí, la pelea ya está confirmada. Top Rank quedó que el fin de semana me manda el contrato. Me dijeron que es 10 de septiembre la pelea en Atlantic City. Y pues ya está negociada. Ya hablamos con Golden Boy, Top Rank, y hablé yo. Y ya la pelea supuestamente ya está. Pero el contrato solamente de ellos, de Top Rank.
There is a date. It's September 10th in Atlantic City. And I believe he indicated that Golden Boy should have a contract by this weekend, but that everything seems to be a go.
Now, it being at his weight that he was at once as a featherweight, is he excited about that? I mean, he had to move up to fight Broner. Is he excited that he goes back to his more comfortable weight?
Daniel, ¿estás emocionado de que regresas al peso pluma? Porque sabemos que tuviste que subir de peso para Broner.
Pues es el peso que peleo, que estoy bien, porque en este peso no hay ventajas. Aquí estoy, vamos a estar en mismas condiciones, mismas ventajas en el peso.
Featherweight is my weight. You know, I feel very comfortable at this weight. And obviously, the fight that I had with Broner was not my weight, so I'm happy to be back.
Now, your two losses is off of Lopez, and Lopez just lost to Salcido. Do you want to avenge that loss, or would you want to have a crack at Salcido, who's out of Mexico as well? And then Broner, seeing what his last fight of his, you know, being able to knock out Litso, does that serve you any interest? And this is a two-part question here. The second part of that question is, seeing what Broner did to Litso and wasn't able to do with you, does that kind of build up your confidence a little?
Daniel, el hecho de que tienes dos pérdidas, obviamente con Juanma, perdiendo contra Salcido, ¿hay algún interés todavía en quitarte la espinita con Juanma?
La verdad, mira, yo no guardo rencor con nada, es el deporte. Pero si Juanma ya es campeón, yo peleo con Salido. Y si Juanma le gana a Salido en la revancha, yo peleo con Juanma, aunque sea, que sea campeón cualquiera de los dos. Y si ellos quieren darme la revancha, ahora sí me tienen la revancha Juanma, peleo con él.
You know, I don't hold any grudges. I mean, it's a sport. A loss is a loss. I lost, and it is what it is. But I don't hold any grudges, but I just want to fight, you know, whoever the world champion is or whatever contender needs to be in front of me. I will fight Salcido. Salcido?
Yeah, Salcido. Uh-huh.
Or the winner of the other two that you mentioned, Dave.
My last question is going to be for when the hearing of Valero, of his mishap or the tragedy between his wife and himself, and him being able to be close to him and knowing Edwin, was it a surprise or was it not a surprise to him?
Daniel, cuando salieron los resultados del tribunal de lo que pasó con Edwin Valero y su difunta esposa, ¿a ti te sorprendió? ¿Te sorprendió pues lo sucedido?
Sí, me sorprendió, pues nunca esperé que fuera algo así, que me fuera a matar a su esposa y suicidarse de esa manera. No, yo quedé sorprendido, pero pues siempre que andaba metido en drogas y pues muy metido en la fama, el dinero, y pienso que cuando uno está uno consciente de eso, uno puede perder y acabar de esa manera.
Actually, I was surprised, but obviously, you know, when you got fame and money and involved in drugs, then, you know, that's the type of things that happen, but I was surprised.
Now, you were reported to have, like, some real fights with Edwin. I mean, there was a friendship between you guys, but there was some real fights between the two of you guys. You guys were letting your hands go. So leading on to the Juanma Lopez fight, I mean, I don't know about you, but my opinion would be is that Edwin's a harder puncher than Lopez, and you said you had an off night. What was the off night? I mean, what happened that night? Why did you get knocked out?
Daniel, obviamente se rumora o se sabe de que tú tuviste algún problemita con este Edwin. Y Edwin pega recio, tú tratas de saber. Y este Juanma
tal vez pega igual o un poco menos, pero ¿cómo es como describes tú tu noche mala que tuviste? ¿Por qué dices que tuviste tu mala noche esa noche?
Porque yo me excedí mucho de confianza y no me concentré antes de la pelea. Se me cayó una pelea desde enero. En marzo se me cayó la pelea y seguí entrenando al mismo ritmo hasta junio. O sea, que estuve 6 meses entrenando fuertísimo y yo lo que quería era pelear y yo tenía mucha confianza que iba a ganar y solamente fue un descuido. Yo la pelea ya no flotando mucho, no estaba muy concentrado en la pelea.
I think I had too much confidence in myself. I went in too aggressive and, you know, I was just kind of pumped because I had my fight fall through in March, and I didn't fight about three or four months later, and I just I just went in too aggressive and didn't put too much attention. I was overwhelmed at the fact that I was going to fight because it had already fell through on time.
This fight with Gamboa is this something that. Have you had a chance to study him before the fight was even made? I mean, what is your assessment about Gamboa? I mean, this is an explosive guy, but also has a suspect chin. What do you think is the best tactic to go with against him?
Daniel, Gamboa presenta una barbilla muy muy débil. ¿Cómo preparas? ¿Cómo es que te vas a preparar para él? ¿Videos? ¿Qué es lo que vas a hacer?
Pues, ya hemos visto que no aguanta porque lo han tumbado. Pero también sabemos que pega muy fuerte y pega durísimo también y tiene muy buena condición. Su estilo es muy dificultoso. Entonces me voy a preparar para eso, para tener muy buena condición, estar muy fuerte también, muy rápido y tratar de sorprenderlo antes de que él agarre su confianza, sino ponerme en el difícil desde el primer round.
Yes, he does have he may have a weak chin, but he's a very, very powerful hitter, or fighter rather. And I'm just gonna prepare myself. Obviously, I'm gonna try and get to him, earlier in the rounds. Before he gets and builds his confidence, and just be prepared.
You know, hey man, I really appreciate Ponce taking the time to speak to us here on Leaving in the Ring. You know, I'm really excited about this fight between himself and Gamboa. I wish him the best of luck. You know, before I let him go though, my last question to him is going to be this is. Is this the fight that, in his heart, that he feels he needs to be in the hearts of the Mexican people? Because he, in my opinion, he still hasn't caught the imagination or the embracement of the Mexican fans.
Daniel, antes que nada, queremos agradecerte por tomarte el tiempo de estar en nuestro programa. Y queríamos terminar contigo con una última pregunta y decir de que tú, esta es la pelea ideal que tú has buscado y tú crees que con esta pelea al ganar sería la victoria donde ya todo mexicano va a reconocer a Daniel Ponce de León.
Pues sí, yo pienso que ya está reconocido, saben el poder de mis puños, saben que estoy ahí y aparte por ganar esta pelea más reconocer la gente de que pues yo soy uno de los mejores del mundo. Tengo que salir a ganar esta pelea para compartir a toda la gente y seguir ganando estas peleas grandes que te voy a dar.
I think I have the backing from the Mexican people already. Obviously, it's a big fight. I've been looking forward to it, And, I mean, I just think this will put me over the hump. And, but, you know, the backing from the people, I definitely have it. You know, it's definitely there.
Well, there you go. You know, Ponce de Leon is going to be facing Yorkis Gamboa in Atlantic City. Hopefully, it's September 10th. Daniel, otra vez, man, gracias mucho para tener el chance para hablar con nosotros, los dos pochos de boxeo, con usted, ¿okay?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, those two pochos could have probably done a better job this time around, man.
I know you were off tonight, bro. I don't know what's going on with you.
Oh, you know what? The
are you at a ship joint?
I didn't hear most of the stuff that you guys were saying, but I tried my best, brother. You know, I always try my best.
I know. And you get nervous and stuff, man. You know. But hey, Daniel, gracias mucho, man.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you very much for your support. Thank you for your attention. September 10th, Atlantic City. Gamboa.
Hey, tráelo para atrás a México. Tráelo para atrás a México, ¿ok?
Ok, gracias. Thank you.
Okay.
Gracias, Daniel. Thanks, Dave.
Good luck to you.
And there you go. Daniel Ponce de Leon, you know. Yeah, it was a really off night for Ernesto. I mean, so, you know, sometimes I wish I could translate, man, but I get really nervous in translating even in Spanish.
Yeah. Congrats to you next time again. We'll go with our normal translator. We went with an off brand, and it didn't quite work out.
Hey, you know, Ernie's a good guy. He helped us out, man, and he did set up the interview for us to do so. You know, no. You know what? Ernie did a good job. But Ernie's done better for us. He's done way better. But I think, you know, it is true. He said he couldn't hear us. He is at the Fight Ranch, and we've been up there. I mean, the reception is not the greatest. You know, so, but I mean, I did get the questions that I did want to get across to him, but I'm not really sure if the English listeners were able to get back what Ponce de Leon was really replying back to us and stuff, you know, and I didn't want to interrupt and correct Ernesto or anything like that, because Ernesto is just, he was doing this out of his way to for leaving the ring, you know, so, but I appreciate it, but I know some Spanish-speaking fans are not going to appreciate the translation. They're going to be a little upset. I'm already getting it now on our emails. They're like, what the hell? What's this guy saying? He's not saying anything that Ponce is saying. So we're going to have a chance to go back, listen to what he said, and then we'll retranslate it here and stuff, you know. And I apologize. Hey, my Spanish is not that great, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, I could have done a better job. Nah, I couldn't have, man, you know.
Well, I'll see about, like, bribing Z to do a translation for me, and I'll write it up as a formal interview. Maybe that, you know,
hey,
will satisfy
the
fan.
A little bottle of wine, you know, a little wine and dining here should happen. And, you know, we miss Z. I know a lot of fight fans do miss Z. She's always been our translator here, and she does a fantastic, fantastic job, you know. And you know what? I was going to ask you to see if we can get a hold of her and to get her back on to translate and stuff. But I did have Ernie, and I was speaking to him, and he did set it up. And I said, hey, you don't want to be rude. And I'm not going to say he did a terrible, terrible job. He was just a little off on what he was doing. He recognized it. Ernie's one of those guys, man. He's a really, really good person and stuff, you know. And we're just breaking his balls right here at the moment, because I know he's still listening. So I know he's going to be like, these guys, man, these two pochos. And we're waiting for Robert the Ghost Guerrero to call in so he can talk to us about his Cheetah Madonna fight here at the HB, the Shark Tank in San Jose. They call it the Shark Tank because it's the home of the Sharks hockey team of San Jose, man. We're hoping that San Jose catches up to speed and maybe gets an amateur team the way the Matadors, you know. I know you had a chance to interview Chris Sweet Pea Pearson, who's going to be going for the Olympic triathlon out there, Gabe. What's your thoughts about that, brother? You know, I'm a little excited for them because we had a chance to follow them from the beginning.
He's going to be that interview will be out probably Saturday morning this week. He just pulled off the Nationals win, so now he's headed off to the Olympic trials in about a month. He's a middleweight fighter, and it was interesting because, you know, the Matadors are a semi-pro style or semi-pro team, meaning that they fight in a pro style, no headgear, and we've been through it on the show. But then he had to go back to the amateurs and go back to that point style, and he just said, you know, it's like two completely different sports, professional stuff
professional fighting, you know, where there's no headgear and body punches count versus amateurs where it's like fencing, you know, it's a totally different thing. But he said the experience of the WSB taking that back into the amateurs, it did help. You know, he was able to face guys from all over the world and top-level amateurs the whole time. And then heading into this tournament, you know, he was able to get healthy, let some of the things that had happened to him in the season heal up, and he ran the table. It's pretty awesome. You know, he's a real humble guy, really excited about the sport. He's a big fan of Andre Ward's. That's his favorite fighter. And he was there for – Andre was there for when he won the Nationals. So I'm excited. And it'll be out, this Saturday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's great, man. I mean, you know, we've been getting a lot of stuff from Julie Goldsticker, who's handling a lot of the PR work for the Olympics. So I've been catching up to speed with that there. Hey, let's pass in some fight fans really quick while we're waiting for Robert the Ghost Guerrero to call into the show to talk to us a little bit about his upcoming fight. Very exciting fight. But let's pass in Chris, who's been on hold patiently, who wants to talk Klitschko versus David Haye. What's up, brother? What's on your mind? You're live right now on Leaving in the Ring.
Hey, yeah, I just want to talk about David Haye and Klitschko. A lot of people that I talk to, they're picking Klitschko to just dominate Haye, but I'm giving Haye a definitely a good chance. You know, he has pretty good feints. He's very athletic, and I don't think Klitschko's fought a fighter like that in a while. And, I mean, when Corey Sanders beat him, he used lateral movement with hand speed, but Sanders throws quick, you know, straight punches. Haye's more of a looping-type quick-handed fighter, and I think he's going to give Klitschko a little bit of trouble with his foot. Like, you know, with his foot movement going in and out with the hand speed. And I think he's got to catch Klitschko early to, you know, a little bit scare Klitschko. But for the most part, if Klitschko can keep him at bay with that jab, and that right hand is very, very hard. And I don't think Haye can take that right hand at all.
You know, the thing that I like you mentioned right now, because that's my general thought about David Haye, is that he's very athletic. He's a little awkward. He circles the bigger guys. I don't know if you watched that. Since him coming into the heavyweight division, he doesn't really use that straight attack that he did when he was a cruiserweight. You know, he's a guy that kind of circles your guy, circles the big man, and he does the overhand right pot shot. But he makes sure that your feet are not planted so you can't return anything. You know, I'm not buying the whole dominant thing of Vladimir Klitschko, because you're right. He's fighting a guy who has a style he hasn't seen in a long time. He's been able to really be comfortable and relax with the opponents that have been placed in front of him. Now, is that his fault? No, it's the shallowness of the heavyweight division. But I think that's why this makes it such an interesting fight. Chris, I'm going to put you on hold because my boy is on hold right now, Robert the Ghost Guerrero, okay? But I'm going to patch you in because I want to talk a little bit more about Klitschko and Haye, because like I said, I'm very pumped up about this fight. I'm really excited, okay? But I'm going to put you on hold. Let's patch in Robert the Ghost Guerrero. What's up, brother?
How's it going, Dave?
Good, man. How you doing, man? I know you're doing good. You got Cheeto Madonna here in your hands, in your mercy. It's a fight that before you even got made, you had mentioned to me that you want it. But now that it's here and it's going to be in the hometown, how do you feel about it?
I'm excited, man. I'm super excited. You know, I just can't wait. I can't wait. You know, this is one of the fights that I've been looking for, and you know, like I always say, Dave, you got to fight the best to be the best, and Madonna's one of the best, and he's one of the toughest guys out there, and, you know, that's what I do, is get in with the best guys, because, you know, it's what the fans want, and, you know, this is going to be a fans fight.
You know, my co-host Gabriel Montoya is on the line with me. I got two questions, and I'm going to pass it over to him. My first question with you, Robert, is training camp. Does it stay hometown? Because it looked like we had a refresh, almost a newly revived, but also a much bigger Robert the Ghost Guerrero when you went to Las Vegas. I heard, you know, I spoke to your dad, I spoke to your brother. You said, hey, listen, they told me the training up there was phenomenal. The running the hills were just beneficial. Do you go back to where you had success with your fight, your biggest fight to date with Casitas?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this fight, you know, this is probably going to be the toughest fight, you know, I've ever been in so far in my career. And, you know, I got to get out to training camp. You got to be able to be out there focused, you know, just think about boxing and prepare, you know, specifically just for Madonna. And,
yeah, you know, definitely I'll be on a training camp. You know, the last training camp went very well. You know, the training was great. The running was great. You know, being able to just rest, relax, focus on just preparing on boxing and not worrying about anything else, you know, going to the doctors, you know, doctor visits here, you know, doing the thing with my wife and you know, being by her side. You know, it takes a lot out of you, you know, whether you think it doesn't, but it does. And, you know, as everybody's seen in the last fight, you know, getting out to training camp, you know, that's what prepares you 100% to be a fighter.
Absolutely. You know, now, when I go back and I look at Madonna when he fought Eric Morales, which you guys were on the undercard of that fight, man. I mean, that whole card there, Action Heroes, man, it summoned everything exactly what happened that night. It was Action Heroes, you know. When you go back and you look at this fight, and I don't know, I could be wrong about this, but I may not be wrong about this, but I really felt that Madonna looked at Morales. He overlooked him. He probably didn't train correctly for him. He didn't have any strategy. I think he really kind of thought what the rest of us thought was that you were getting a shot, Eric Morales. Instead, we saw an Eric Morales that was able to pull off a lot more than any of us were anticipating. Are you looking at him that he didn't train right and that you have to train for the guy that gave fits to Amir Khan?
You know what, I seen Marcos Madonna in the gym, you know, out there in Vegas, and, you know, he was training hard, he was preparing right for the fight, he did a lot of stuff he had to do, but, I think he was just overlooking him. He didn't think, he had anything in the tank left, and, you know, Morales surprised a lot of people, and it surprised him that he had something left, and, you know, he came to fight, and, you know, I think Eric Morales got by on, you know, intelligence in the ring and you know, being smart and hitting those angles and knowing when to punch. But, yeah, you know, I don't think he prepared the way he did prepare for Amir Khan. And I know definitely he's going to prepare even more better than he did with me. I think he's going to prepare more better than he did with Amir Khan for me. So, you know, I know he's going to be ready because, you know, this is going to be a big fight. You know, him seeing me in the gym and, you know, also seeing me on the undercard with Casitas and you know, how much I'm improving and you know, how focused I am to be on top. So, you know, that right there, it gets a fighter to really, really put his all into getting ready because he knows he's in for a fight.
Absolutely. I'm going to pass it over to my co-host.
Hey, Robert, how are you? It's Gabe Montoya, Max Boxing. I'm curious. Nice to hear from you, man. Congratulations on everything that's been going on, you know, winning your award with the BWAA and everything and your last fight. I'm curious, so why skip over 135? It seemed like you really kind of hit your peak. It was the most complete fight that I've ever seen you fight. And now you're just going to leave the division and go straight up to 140. Was it because Marquez had no interest in fighting you and there was no other big money fights? What was the decision that went into that?
You know, there's a lot of big fights at 135. You know, it was having trouble making the fights. You know, I was going to take the opportunity where it comes. And, you know, moving up to 140, I think there's more opportunity there for me. You know, there's Amir Khan. There's Devin Alexander. There's Timothy Bradley. There are so many big names out there. Pacquiao's right there at 147, so, you know, it throws you right there in that mix, and you know, Mayweather's coming back. I mean, there's a lot of big fights out there, so, you know, that's where I want to be. I want to be right there where the best is at, and, you know, I'm moving to 140 pounds to make it happen.
You look at that Morales fight, and like you said, Eric got by on intelligence, boxing skill, but he didn't quite have that extra something to get over the top and really take over the fight and finish off Maidana or get him out of there. Do you think that you have that extra something? You're younger, you're fresher, and at this weight, you'll be even stronger?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm younger, fresh. You know, I you know, carry punching power. You know, I fight intelligent also in the ring. And, you know, I think Morales, all he lacked was being able to execute stuff. You know, that comes with age, though. And,
sure.
You know, I got the legs, I got the hand speed, I got the movement, you know, I can fight it inside, outside. So, you know, I think I got the package to beat Marcos Maidana.
Do you think, in terms of power, though, you know, what's a big fight for you to step up and, you know, every time a guy moves up to a different division, their power either levels off or we find out that they really have power to spare and that now that they're not weight draining, they seem even like tougher, like Tito Trinidad was like that. Pacquiao seems to be a bit like that, although he's leveling off. Don't you think you should have maybe dipped your toe into 140 to see what your power's like and see what everything's like? Or is this a good style for you to take this risk?
A lot of people forget the fight I fought with Joel Casimiro, it was a 140-pound fight.
That's right.
I hit him with some shots and froze him up. You know, that's what made the fight real difficult for him was, you know, as soon as I hit him with some shots to the body, hit him with some head shots, you know, froze him up a lot. So, you know, I've been there at 140 pounds, you know, just came back down to 35 because I didn't want to pass up 135 without, you know, doing anything there. So,
sure.
You know, I'm excited to come up to 140 pounds and, you know, fight night, you know, everybody's going to see, you know, what I got at 140 pounds. So, you know, I'm excited about it. And, you know, I know the fans are excited about it. And I just can't wait to get out there and show the world, you know, what I could do at 140.
But, you know, at the same time, though, Robert, I mean, you were able to stun Casamayor, but you were dropped on that fight as well. I mean, is there some concerns there? I mean, you know, what happened with that there? I mean, because that's one thing that fight fans are going to be reminded and say, yeah, you look strong in that one, but you also were able to, you got put down on the canvas.
You know, he landed the punch. You know, I was on the move. It was a half knockdown, half slip. You know, I call it a knockdown, but, you know, it's you know, one of those freak things. And you know, Casimiro is a real slick guy. He catches you falling asleep, and, you know, he hits you when you least expect it. So, you know, it's an experience you take and just, you know, move on from it. But if you always worry, keep that in the back of your mind that, oh, I've been down at 140 pounds or, you know, anything like that, you know, that it creeps up and haunts you because you carry that in the ring in the back of your mind.
Maidana's probably, I would say, considered one of the biggest punchers that you're going to face. And it's obviously a very huge jump up. Like Gabriel just mentioned right now, you're not even testing the waters. You're going after one of the vicious guys at 140 here. But at the same time, this guy, you know, he's slow. The boxing skills obviously don't meet to your level. So is this a boxer versus a puncher? Or is this a boxer-puncher versus just a puncher?
Yeah, I mean, it's a boxer-puncher versus a puncher. You know, it's going to be one of those exciting fights where, you know, you're going to see some leather flying and some hard punching. And, you know, I think it's just going to be one of those fights that, you know, everybody's just going to be waiting to see who gets caught first.
You know, the last taste of what people remember, I mean, they don't remember that you did come back after the wave off of Jordell. You know, a lot of people say, oh, he quit on that fight, but you made a comeback after that, and you made a statement. But people don't recognize that. They're not giving you the credit from that fight there, you know, and you had another cut on your eye, and you were able to stop. I can't remember the guy's name, man. I just went blank on the guy that you stopped in San Jose after the Jordan fight. Now, though, but with Maidana, do you need to make a statement? Do you need to make a statement not just for your local fans, but for the world? Because, you know, when this fight was announced, when we posted it up and we talked about it, you still had a lot of naysayers saying that, oh, okay, that's cool, but Madonna's going to make him quit like he's quit before.
Yeah, see, a lot of people think I quit, but I didn't quit. You
right.
know, the referee's decision, so... you know, whether they want to think I quit or what, you know, that's their own opinion. But, you know, I just got to come out and fight, show the world, and come out and make a statement. You know, at that world championship level, you got to always come out and make a statement because you're only as good as your last fight. And, you know, you always want to come out and put on a better show.
If you had to look at the division, 135, and obviously you're moving to 140, and there's a lot of names there, but there's also a lot of guys that are going to balk and, you know, Tim Bradley may or may not fight somebody, or you know, Devin Alexander may or may not do something at 140. He may move up. If you look back at 135, is there unfinished business? Because a fight that I would love to see you in is Brandon Rios.
Oh yeah,
that would be a hell of a fight. Would you? Is that something you're interested in? I know he actually told me he's probably doing one other fight at 135, maybe two, and moving up to 140. Are you going to settle into this division, or would you go back for something like that?
You know, if he's planning to come up to 140, you know, I'd just wait at 140 pounds for him. You know, it's one of those fights that, you know, that could be made, and if it gets made, you know, let's do it. I mean, I'll fight anybody. I'll fight anybody. If I have to come down and wait to fight somebody, you know, I'll do it. It's, you know, it's, like I said, it's about making those big fights and fighting the best to be the best and, you know, putting out great fights for the fans.
When you look at the other guys that Maidana's faced, and you're heading into this fight with him, do you want to make a bigger statement than them? Do you want to knock him out? I mean, obviously the goal is always just to stop an opponent and get a shorter night's work, but does that factor into your preparation at all, that I got to do better than all these other guys? Going the distance with him is not enough?
Oh, yeah. It's like Dave was saying, you know, they don't give me the credit that I deserve. And, you know, I've won five world titles. You know, I've done more in boxing than most champions done out there. So, you know, I got to come out and make a huge statement. I got to come out and make a huge statement. And, you know, it's always on your mind to come out and blow a guy out, to dominate the fight, you know, try to get the knockout or not, you know, just put it on the dude and dominate every single round.
Yeah, it is kind of strange, the lack of respect or lack of something. You know, for a guy, you have multiple division titles. You know, you've been a world champion, a couple different weight classes, and here you are heading into a, you know, yet another division, and yet you don't seem to get quite the run. I mean, do you think it's going to take like a one punch knockout or a string of victories or a long title reign? What do you think is going to really push it for you? A fight of the year?
You know, beating a guy like Marcos Maidana, you know, looking at what he did. I mean, you know, he almost had Amir Khan out. I personally, honestly, I think if the referee wasn't in the mix so much, he would have knocked Khan out. You know, seeing what he did to Victor Ortiz, seeing, you know, how he went head up the Morales and, you know, swallowed them all up and beat him. You know, there's a lot of, you know, on his resume that people are like, wow, this guy is the one of the biggest punchers in the division, one of the most dangerous guys. So, you know, hey, let's take the gamble. Let's fight him. You beat him, hey, you know, everybody's going to know, hey, this guy is the deal.
Was he your first pick? I mean, was he going to 140, you know, and I know that you're really close with your cap and your family, you know, and you listen to your circle of everybody that surrounds you and stuff, and especially with your manager, Bob. Was Maidana your first choice, or was there another name you guys were looking at, but then you came around and go, you know what, this is an exciting fight to bring to San Jose? Because we got to admit, Robert, there's never been an exciting buzz for boxing in San Jose. I mean, it's normally your name and then another name that nobody's ever heard of. This time we got two names, two exciting fighters in the middle of the Silicon Valley in San Jose, California.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the buzz is getting big. You know, there was a lot of names out there. There's a lot of names out there. You know, we were looking for the best fight possibly. And, you know, we were looking at Marquez, but Marquez decided to go with the Pacquiao way, which, you know, I don't blame the guy. You know, if I could have got that fight, I would have went straight to that fight too. But, you know, Marcos Maidana, I mean, you look at him. You know, I was saying, you know, before I fought the fight with Casillas was, hey, you know what? Everything goes good. I want to fight the winner out of the main event. And, you know, there it is. I mean, it got signed, the deal's done, and, you know, I'm pumped up about it. Can't wait to get out there and make it happen.
You've always been a pretty big supporter for Andre Ward or any of the Bay Area fighters. Ward being in that tournament of the six-man tourney. And you got to say, the guy got into something that – some fight fans are not excited about, but real hardcore fans like myself, we love it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It was an opportunity to see the best fight the best. It didn't pan out to what we were hoping what it was, but we obviously got fights that we wanted to see. in any way do you feel, you know what, I wish that there was something like that in any of the division that you decided to settle in? Because you could have fought the fights you wanted to fight rather than struggle and convince people the fights that you want.
In a way, yeah, but in a way, no, because, I mean, if you look how long this tournament's been going on, you know, it fell apart. You know, that's the only thing that kind of concerns me about stuff like that. But I just think, you know, a lot of these fighters just got to stop, you know, ducking people. You know, they just got to, hey, you know what? Let them hang. Let's do it. Fight the best. You know, do a throwback style. Hey, you know what? The best fighting the best. And, you know, that's the way I look at things. And, you know, that's why I right away jumped in, 140 pounds. You know, why test the waters? Let's do it. We want to fight the best. Make the best fights for the fans. And, you know, that's what's been lacking in boxing is, you know, putting the best fights together.
Yeah, you big time, man. I agree with that. I agree with that big time, Robert. Hey, I don't have any more questions. I don't know if my co-host Gabriel does for you, man. Gabe, you have any more?
I'm just curious. You know, this is a similar style to Katsidas, in a sense. Do you think they're on the same level, or do you think Maidana has improved over the years, is a bit of a better boxer, can deliver his power in a sneakier way? Or do you think Katsidas was more advanced of a fighter, and that because of that and getting over the hump with him, you'll have an easier time in this fight?
You know, they both got that same similar pressure style.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Michael Katsidas, he's more, you know, has a more boxing skill, you know, moves side to side. You know, he puts his combinations together. But you get a Maidana who puts pressure, and, I mean, he hits you from off-balance punches, different angles. You know, he hits you from punches you don't even know where they're coming from. And, you know, that's what makes a guy dangerous, especially a guy with his kind of punching power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he throws a looping punch, which it looks like a wild punch, but that's just his natural the way he throws. And, you know, that's why he does so much damage when he's in the ring with these guys. And I think his style lures guys to sleep. The way he moves,
yeah.
The way he's off balance, the way he's walking towards you, the way he's swinging, you know, it makes him look vulnerable, but that's the way he fights, and that's where he's at his best. So,
yeah, even
you know,
he got that kind of
tricky style where, you know, if you fall asleep, he's going to blast on you, and you won't even know when it's coming. So, you got to be
Khan kind of fell asleep. Yeah, Amir Khan, I think, did exactly that. He kind of like, I've got this guy beat, and then all of a sudden, oh, my God, I'm running for my life. You know,
I honestly think Khan was hitting him so easy that he thought he was going to be a cakewalk. And,
yeah.
You know, as soon as he started getting a little lazy on his movement and stiffing punches where it looked like it was so easy, like he was just going to handle this guy, he got caught with a big punch and you know, got put on Queer Street.
I'm curious too. When you prepare for a guy, I don't know if you're a tape watcher or not, but if you're going to watch something of a guy, do you watch when he's gotten beat, or do you watch him at his best, or do you watch everything?
I watch how he got beat. I watch him at his best. I watch everything. You know, I watch everything he does. You know, early in his career, up to date. You know, we do our homework. We break the guy down. We you know, work up a game plan, and you know, that's what you do when you're out in a training camp. You know, all it is about is about getting ready for that person you're gonna fight. So all you do is your homework. You train. You do what you gotta do. You rest. You eat right, and everything is just about that day you step in that ring to get down. So you know that's what we do, and you know that's why you know you can see the improvement in me. You know, staying home. It's nice to stay home with your family and be home, but that's not the way a world champion gets prepared. You know, you got to be out in the training camp, and, you know, as you've seen this last time I was in the training camp, you see a huge improvement.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that there, you know, Robert, because you're a champion that, like Andre Ward, that live a very clean living. You know, you don't party, you don't go out, you don't drink, You don't do any of the celebrations after a win. You continue going back to the gym. Even at some point when there's a dry spell for a minute, you're working for your dad, you know, moving cement or doing something.
What did that come about? A couple days ago, I just broke out some cement for him because he's like, hey, you want to work out? So I went out there and smashed some cement for him.
That's fine.
Was that put in you? I mean, did your dad embed that in you? Or did you just, along the way, you disciplined yourself because you knew that in order to get to the point you want to be, this is the way you had to live?
Yeah, you know that. And then also my dad just ingrained it in us. You know, we're workers. We're born workers all our lives. I mean, my father, my grandfather, you know, my brothers, my uncles, all of us, you know, we came from working in the fields, hardworking family. And, you know, it's just the way we grew up. It's the way we grew up is we always had to be doing something. We always got to be working or, you know, something. It always has to be tough, hard work where, you know you're working. And, you know, I just think just laying around resting and you know, you leave yourself vulnerable.
Yeah, you do. I mean, we see that time and time.
He's got Maidana on his record. He's got, you know, a couple high-profile southpaws, DeMarcus Corley being one, Victor Ortiz being the other one. I would say Corley fights more like a southpaw than Victor Ortiz, who kind of moves the wrong way and never met a right hand he couldn't get hit by. Do you think of yourself as a fighter that fights as a southpaw, or are you just a boxer who happens to be a southpaw?
It's a little bit of both. It's being smart in the ring and being able to adapt to stuff. A lot of times these guys, they can't adapt. You know, Victor Ortiz can adapt to the right hand.
Right.
And that's what hurt him in the fight. Corley, I mean, you know, he couldn't adapt. He wanted to stay there, take punch. Hey, you can't stay there and sit in the middle of the ring with a puncher like Maidana. I mean, you got to be able to adapt in the ring. You got to be able to think, use your mind. And that's what takes you to that next level. And, you know, that's the reason why I'm a 5-time world champion, is being able to adapt in the ring, being able to think, being able to adjust, knowing when to switch gears in the ring. That's why the success is there. And, you know, you got to be able to use all that every time you get in that ring.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
Robert,
good. We've asked him every question under the sun.
I know, man. Hey, Robert. Hey, man. It's always great, brother. I can't wait. When you start training camp, I definitely want to have a chance to go out there and hang out with you and your pops and your brother. Hey, tell Clint, man, Clint Cornell, who's under the tutelage of your brother, keep his head up. He won those last two fights. I don't understand why they keep taking it away from the kid. He's a workhorse, you know, and you're always doing good things for the city of Gilroy and all the other little towns around, man. Always one of my favorite. A lot of the favorites here are the listeners of Leading the Ring. I'm getting a lot of tweets and email of everybody who loves when you come on, you chop it up. And not only when they love it when you come on, they love when you get in the ring and do your thing, man. And Mario sent me an email talking about should you be on the pound-for-pound ratings. I'll tell you now, I don't believe in the pound-for-pound, but I believe you're one of the best fighters out there to date, man. You're always bringing it, and you're always doing exactly what we want as fight fans. You're bringing the good fights.
Yeah. I just think all us fighters just need to get together and start fighting.
Yep, that's
stop
it.
Stop ducking, stop running, stop hiding, just make it happen. Because, hey, it's what the fans deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be pound for pound, this, that, you know, world champion, but if you ain't fighting the best, you ain't the best.
That's
the way I look at it.
You know what we got to do, brother? We got to get a ring and put it out there at the Gilroy Fairgrounds, and the winner gets a big old scoop of garlic ice cream, man.
Garlic ice cream. Hey, maybe I'm going to start getting in the ring.
Yeah. You know,
hey,
garlic ice cream.
Just like your show, bro, leave it in the ring, and that's the way we got to do it, is leave it in the ring.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, bro, say hi to the family, man, and I will talk to you later, Robert.
Hey, heck yeah, man. Hey, good talking to you, Dave.
Hey, good talking to you too, man. It's always a pleasure.
All
All right,
man. I'll go to the set. What's up?
I will. Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
Robert the Ghost Guerrero, man. I mean, you gotta, what, you know, no matter how many different ways you put it, man, him against El Chino Madonna, this is gearing up to be a hell of a fight here, Gabriel. I mean, 140 leap, he's leaving, you know, after the Casitas fight, he's jumping up, facing one of the biggest punchers at 140, where a lot of fight fans consider he's one of the most avoided guys, which I don't agree, because everybody is going after Madonna, and there's a reason why. But for a guy that comes from a smaller division, jumping up and saying, listen, I'm going to test the waters. I'm going to see if the paddle works in the stream against Madonna and see if I can go toe-to-toe or outbox this guy or do whatever I can do in my hometown. You got to applaud the guy for taking such a huge risk against a guy that has very slow momentum, but at the same time, like he mentioned and like you mentioned, you sleep on him, he wakes you up with a pretty loud alarm ring.
Yeah, seriously, he's not a guy that you can sit on, and I think he was absolutely on the money. You know, I think Khan was going, wow, this is so easy, a caveman can do it, and he's just beating on Madonna the whole time, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, you know, he kind of lulled to sleep, and that's all it took. You know, for suddenly the tables to turn and the guy to be in trouble and be running for his life. I think this is a fun fight. I think it's a good fight for Robert, and that it's going to be action because Maidana will bring that danger and bring that power style. But at the same time, I think it's a very winnable fight for Robert in terms of style. Maidana's going to come to him. He's going to be wide. Doesn't move his head a lot. It's kind of slow. But he is dangerous. If he lands, you're in trouble. So I think
Robert,
it's a hell of a fight.
And Robert always looks good against guys that come forward, you know, guys that bring it to him. You know, sometimes you see guys that do come forward, which we saw with Jordan. I mean, this is something that keeps being brought back in a comparison for some reason for some fight fans that have not let go of that fight. And they've said, well, you know, a guy that pressures him, you know, he folds up. But they didn't really – I don't know if they really paid attention to that fight. Jordan was holding on to Robert a whole lot. And we didn't really get a big, huge assessment of that fight. You know, I mean, you saw two guys. It was too early in the round to see who was going to really take over, who was getting the better of who. But you saw that it was gearing up for a big fight until the head clash, the eye was open, and then the ref asked, can you see? And Robert did the right thing. He answered the question with no lie. And that's really part of what the MO of the kid is, you know. There's no lie to him. You know, he's a very clean, honest, religious person. And you ask him a real question, he's going to answer it, you know. And he answered that question with the referee by saying, I can't see.
Yeah.
And the ref waved it off. And that's what it kind of boils down to. But, hey, questions that you're being asked right now. Casitas was the guy that was supposed to make him quit. We didn't see that. We saw a very live, great fight between two great warriors going in the mix. One guy was, Casitas, you can't take things away from him. And he was in the fight from round one all the way down, working the body. He never gave up. The same thing with Robert, landing some hellacious shots. And Casitas, man, just showed what kind of a granite chin the kid brings, you know. Was KO'd by Casamayor, and I can't even think right now if he's been after that. You know, now bringing up power, like you just mentioned right now, does a man plateau with their power when they keep moving up in weights? You know, this is a guy that debuted at 122, went to 126, 130, 135, now jumping up to 140 here. You know, five-time world division champion. You know, does he carry his weight? Interesting fight. That's why I say, I think to me it's a boxer-puncher thing, but he wasn't able to stop Casitas, but he was definitely able to hurt Casitas in their bout when they did face each other on that Action Hero card.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. And Linus, one of our the guys following me on Twitter, always astute. He says he's going to have to outsmart or outskill him.
Yeah,
that's
what I agree.
Down to, and I 100% agree with that, because I just think that, you know, I don't think that Robert is a one punch knockout guy. You know, he was at the smaller weights, you know, because he's a bigger guy for his weight class, and so, you know, he was able to carry that weight and you know, his punch was much bigger, you know, because of it. now that he's moved up in weight, it's going to level off without question, I think. So he's going to be a guy that hits hard.
I think it was already leveling.
Technique.
Yeah, I honestly think it was. It was leveling off after he moved to 126. But then you got to look at the opponents that he was facing. I mean, you know, he's been facing some pretty good names here since leaving that 126 division, even in that 126 division. I mean, I think his last telling and explosive KO was over Litzau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. So it's almost like a Soto like that, and that his power just isn't, you know, it's not quite what we think it is. But
right.
At the same time, he's got really good technique, and he's got excellent size. I mean, he's 5'8", you know, so and he's already moving into to 140, which is kind of around where his body should be, 135, 140.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be one of those guys that hits hard because of technique, but not knock you out kind of guy, but more of an accumulation puncher.
Puncher,
yeah,
exactly. Kind of
knockout. I mean, he knocked out, you know, Robert Arrieta back in April 2010, but that was a 35-15 guy. That was kind of like a get-back opponent. I think he'd been off a little while.
Exactly.
But yeah, he'd been off since 2009. But the last one, you know, Edel Ruiz, he blew him out in one. That was right after Jason Litzau. He knocked out an 8. So, I mean, he takes care of business when he needs to, you know. But at the higher weights, I mean, he went the distance with Casamayor and got dropped by him. I think he learned from that. That was a good fight for him. And the Escobedo fight, I thought was an excellent fight for him, where he had to really deal with a late charge by Escobedo and then kind of take back over. He dominated throughout that fight. And the Katsidas fight was just, like I told him, the most complete fight I'd ever seen him fight. You know, even though it went 12 rounds and there was no knockout, it was still, he did everything he needed to do. He fought when he needed to fight. He boxed when he needed to box. And he really controlled the center of the ring and really took charge. And that was a huge change for me in him. You know, just his technique and his demeanor, everything kind of came together. His physical, I think a lot of that, like you said, had to do with the training camp. So going forward, you know, I'm picking him to beat Maidana. I just, after watching him get outclassed by Morales and have this old guy that we all picked.
I'm not being fooled by that match, man. Honestly, I'm going to be just blunt about it. I am not fooled that was the 100% Maidana that we have seen in the past. I really think that he really overlooked Morales, and I think he kind of fell into the jizz of what a lot of us were talking about, that he was fighting a guy that should have been in the ring, Eric Morales, Este Libre. I mean, to me, I think Maidana just fell into that, you know what, I'm going to knock him out early and didn't train correctly in that fight. He went in with a different trainer. Miguel Diaz was the guy that was originally training him, but went in different, did a different thing. I didn't see no strategy. With Khan, you kind of saw a little bit of a strategy. He was trying to walk him down, wear him down, and you know, push him back to the ropes. With Morales, I just saw a guy that was kind of going through the motions. With Robert, I don't see him doing that. I see him really taking Robert serious. If I'm correct, I believe he's in Puerto Rico or he's somewhere out there and training. You know what I mean? He's really taking this serious. I think we're going to see the best of Maidana Chino in this fight against Robert the Ghost Guerrero. Now, Robert, like you mentioned, does he have that one punch KO power? No, but I think he has that punch enough to keep you honest and keep you at bay. What were you going to say, Gabe?
It just seems like Maidana's had excuses these last few fights. I changed trainers, or, you know, the Corley fight, I wasn't in that good of shape, or my conditioning coach, so we switched to Diaz, and he loses. Or it doesn't, you know, look as good with Diaz. I need to change that trainer. I'm with somebody else. Now I'm in Puerto Rico, and I need more time to train. And to me, I think we have seen the best of Marcos Maidana. We saw it against Victor Ortiz, and I don't think we're ever going to see that guy again. He is who he is, in my opinion. And whether he underestimated Morales or not, I just don't think he has a very high IQ in terms of boxing. And I think that he got outsmarted by an older man who was up for the fight. And maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he was thinking like the rest of us. I've got a walking corpse in front of me, and I'm just going to hit him once, and his head's going to pop off. And then he found out differently. But
yeah.
The bottom line is that he wasn't able to adjust. He just looks the same to me in every fight. Maybe he looks a little more urgent in the Amir Khan fight. But other than that, like, his approach was really rudimentary and Canelo-esque. So to me, I just don't think the IQ is quite there.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll
no,
see.
I agree.
You know, I think it's still going to be a hell of a fight. Just I think the matchup, style-wise,
it's
going to
be a it's going to be nail-biting type of fight, especially for the fans in San Jose, California, and Gilroy, and Morgan Hill, and Sunnyvale, and all the little towns that are around, that surround San Jose, California, at Silicon Valley. At HP, you're going to see a lot of people, you know, on pins and needles with this fight, because this is a big fight for Robert the Ghost, and he could possibly, we could find out, we could really find out where his chin holds up to the Chino punch. Hey, if you want to call in, talk to us and just recap the interviews that we've had with Ponce de Leon, who we had on a little earlier, and Robert the Ghost Guerrero, who was talking about his Madonna fight happening in the HP Pavilion. Tickets are supposed to go on sale next week. I don't know the exact date. I'm waiting for them to let me know. But you can call in at 347-215-7598. Speak to myself, Dave Duenas, or talk to my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, one of the best writers out there in boxing, who writes for Max Boxing. If you haven't had a chance to check out this guy's articles, man, you definitely have to do that. But at the same time, you got to check out our writers on Leaving the Ring, my boy Sal, Barbara, and Mark Ortega, man, who's this, that kid is just he's a very talented guy, man. I mean, he's only, 22, 23 years old. Got major talent. There's a lot of promise in Mark Ortega. If you haven't had a chance to read his articles, go ahead and check it out. Again, you want to call and talk some boxing. We got some fights to talk about that are coming up. We still got Tavares Cloud, who just fought this past Saturday. We got to talk about a little bit about him. So if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. If you don't have a chance, if you're catching this on a replay, but you want to kind of recap or talk about upcoming fights or fights that we were talking about today here on Leaving the Ring, you can at leavingtheRing@gmail.com. Be sure to catch our sister station, Noche de Boxeo. It's all in Spanish, and you're able to catch interviews that are done in Spanish and boxing and news, all done in Espanol. So let's pass in some fight fans, Gabe. They've been on hold. I want to talk some boxing here with us. Let's see Rob Regal, who's my friend on Facebook. He's my homeboy. He wants to talk some boxing. What's up, brother? What are you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? I just got done doing that thing I messaged you about, that fight recap thing. You know, I tried to get Teddy. I was going to try to talk to him into, hey, man, call in with me. But I had to show him how to get to the hospital. They're going out there visiting Oscar Diaz. You remember the fighter, the guy that got put in a coma on a Friday night fight. So he's out there doing that. I'm headed home now. But, man, I just got a question. Has it been a good year of boxing or what?
It's been a great year of boxing, man. I gotta admit. I mean, you know, some outcomes are not exactly what we were hoping, but other than that, fights that we've been gearing up to want to watch, we've been getting them, especially for the summertime. I mean, Anthony Leon versus Rios, David Hay versus Klitschko, can't argue about that, man. Robert the Ghost Guerrero versus Madonna Gamboa, Juan de Leon, what more can we argue about? Victor Ortiz Mayweather, a great fight, really headed up our way, man, and really putting us back on that map.
Yeah, I don't even have time to go out anymore. I'm always at home watching on my DVR. I gotta pick one to watch live and then to watch on the DVR later. But I just wanted to touch on this Guerrero fight coming up. I mean, I think both guys are a little mirage. I mean, like I said before, when I talked to you, I really don't want to pick anybody anymore, because this one, you know, I kind of felt for Cat Sittis. I was scratching my head as to why he was thrown in with a big filled out Southpaw and Guerrero right after getting knocked out by Marquez. And at the same token, I agree with you saying that that Maidana really wasn't Maidana when he fought Morales. He just fought in little spurts and he just kind of took his gas off the pedal, his foot off the pedal for a lot of the rounds. And I just think it's a coin toss right now, because I think some of their wins in the past, you know, it's kind of I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but you know, the opponents had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right. There's some smoke and mirrors there. You know, just like what Gabriel said here is, I'm gonna put you on hold right on mute, brother, because there's so much wind I can't even hear myself talking.
It's like driving with you.
With Robert, and like you mentioned here, Gabe, is that we saw the best of him. I think that was the best that any of us had saw, the completion of the Ghost. And I don't know if we've ever seen the completion of Madonna. You know, I mean, when he got it put in with Victor Ortiz, he was put in as an opponent. You know, when he got put in with Amir Khan, I still don't think he found himself. I think, you know, he was riding ultra high on what he was able to accomplish. He won over a lot of fans. But being put in with Morales, I think he felt a little bit what the rest of us felt was like, really? Morales? Okay. You know, I'm going to listen to what the promoter has got to say. But I think here with Robert, I think we're going to see what is Madonna really made out of? You know, what are we going to get out of him? Are we wrong about him? Did we see the best or the more, or are we going to see an opportunist here? A guy that's going to take this to another level. You know, with Robert, the completion could just be a 90% completion. We may see a little bit more. His father, his brother, and himself have always said, you know, 140 is not our division. We still want to go to 147. Robert says, I can make that weight easily at 147. So do we see a stronger Robert, a more fluent Robert, or do we see a plateau Robert, you know, and the best
slower
you're going to get? Yeah, a slower Robert, you know. Really interesting fight. Great matchup. And I give him kudos because, like you mentioned, why take such a dangerous fight when testing the waters? I mean, normally when you carve up a canoe, you want to test it in the pond, not in the river, not downstream. And that's what he's doing with this fight here. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what, you know, like I said, you know, to him, it was just, why jump right in? But I think it really is, it's a good style for him, you know. Madonna's is a pretty basic guy, and I think Robert's really starting to come into his own and figure out who he is as a fighter after all this time. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of consistency, you know. He's had a lot of success, but there's been these kind of start and stops because of all the, you know, family stuff he's been dealing with. But now
right.
He's able to go away to training camp, really focus in on himself in his boxing career and his life as a fighter. And I think he's really benefiting from that. Whereas Maidana, I think he's just, with every fight that goes by, he gets found out just a little bit more. You know, there's not much there. You know, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of tenacity and heart, and it seems to be a very good chin. But in terms of, you know, being fleet of foot, being fast of hand, being able to adapt, like Robert talked about, I don't see a lot of that. And I think more and more guys are realizing that and going, you know what? Give me Maidana. We can sell him as dangerous, and I can beat that ass, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Let's put Rob back on and stuff. Rob, you there, bro?
Oh, yeah. I pulled over. I'm sorry, fellas. I like this fight. I mean, it's gonna be good. But like I said, I mean, with Khan, we know how he kind of, you know, he kind of weared himself out with his legs, and he got caught. He's getting caught with uppercuts. And he finally got caught with that overhand right that hurt him, you know. And then that kind of made Maidana, you know, his stature go up a little bit. And also with Victor Ortiz, I really don't know much about Maidana when he fought Victor Ortiz. I don't even know if
right.
Ortiz was ready. Just like Ortiz, I don't know if he's ready for Mayweather. I just hope he gives it at all. But yeah, I think a lot of their opponents in the past have kind of made it, you know, kind of made it to where, you know, they make their stature look a little bit higher. But I like both guys. They're both good. But I don't know who to pick on this one.
Yeah, really good matchup. You know, the thing I like about this matchup, too, is if you really look at all the fights that are happening are between, you know, 140 to 147. Zab Judah, Amir Khan, Brandon Rios, Anthony Leon, you know, Guerrero, and Madonna. You mix those guys up in any way. In the dominoes, you know, when they would say, wash it, because, you know, we're done. We got to replay the game, reset the game. That's pretty much what these guys are, you know, these domino, you know, you got to wash them. And whatever you pull out, you're still going to end up with a good fight. Rios wins over Anthony Leon. He could move up. You know, or if, and let's say Robert doesn't do a fantastic job with Madonna and feels, you know what, I made a mistake. I jumped up. It wasn't my time. I need to jump back down. You still got potential fights there. You know what I mean? I mean, it depends on how well Anthony Leon looks. He may pull an upset. We don't know. I don't think he would. But right now, you know, the logic says that it's going to go to Rios. But let's just say that it was a competitive fight. Still, Anthony Leon is a name that Guerrero can go off of, you know, or he does a great job with Madonna and says, you know what, screw this, I'm going to jump up, you know, I'm going to go after, I'm not jump up, but I'm going to face the winner of Khan and Zab Judah. Either way you look at it, this really benefits us, the boxing fans. You know, a lot of good fights here to be made at 140 at 135. You know, I'm not disappointed. I'm not mad at anybody making their fights. It's going to be great, man. Either way, we're going to have a lot of fights to look forward to for the new year next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hyped up. I mean, it's like every weekend. It's you know, schedule's full. But I see him kind of like Kansas City. You know, he doesn't always win, and sometimes you know he's not going to win, but you know he's exciting, and he's always going to get some good fights. And but I was scratching my head as to why Kansas City was thrown in there so quick after such a bad knockout loss to Marquez. I mean, he put up a good fight in the beginning and knocked Marquez down. But when I went to, I was at that fight and seen him in person. Guerrero looked a lot fuller, a lot bigger. You know what I mean? Put him in with the southpaw that's that much bigger than him after getting knocked out. I kind of felt for the guy. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying, it's kind of hard to look at the last two fights. You know, with him and a smaller Cassidus that just got knocked out and he's a southpaw, and then you look at Maidana as well. That you know, I think he did take a Morales lightly on the same card actually. So I don't know. I guess his fight's gonna answer a lot of questions.
It's just like that old song by CC Factory. Things that make you go, We're gonna find out, man. Hey Rob, thanks for calling in, brother. I'm gonna put you back on hold, okay?
All right. Thanks again, y'all.
Fight fans, you want to call in and chop it up here with myself, Dave Duenas, and Gable Montoya here on Leaving the Ring. Let's talk some fights, man. Pop open a beer. It's nice and warm. It's not that hot, but it's in the high 80s, I believe, here. I know over here in Modesto, California, it's in the high 80s. But you can call in 347-215-7598. Let's talk David Haye Klitschko. But before we do that, let's recap with Tavares Cloud versus Mac. Hey, you know what, Gabe? This fight, that fight really was, to me, was the fight of the whole night, of the three, the triple header on HBO After Dark. You know, you know what, man? Going with Cloud, I don't think he's that much appreciated among fight fans at the moment. You know what I liked what he did a whole lot was that, you know, Mac was the mover. He was the boxer in the fight, but he didn't use his jab. Cloud used his jab to close distance, but what he more or less did is that when Mac decided to shell up, you know, and try to cover up for any big shots, Cloud made sure that he would throw a short but sharp right hook to the body in the early rounds. Did you notice that? You know, he really didn't go for the head. When he got him at the ropes, he made sure he chopped wood against that body. You know, and it benefited himself for the later rounds. And then the other thing I like that the kid does, Cloud does, is that he really uses a lot of short punches, you know. Doesn't look like a lot of steam's being thrown, but he uses those short punches. And then when you step out, he ends up opening up a little bit more because he knew that Mac was going to have his hands down and trying to roll out. It was a great fight. You got to see a lot what Cloud was able to do inside and outside in distance in boxing ability, you know. I mean, you know, Mac went in there supposedly with the better feet, the better hand speed, but Cloud really shut that down. He really took that. He took all of that all away. I like the fact that he looked like he was doing a little bit of shoe shining in the pocket, and I think it was a strategy which was make it look like he wasn't throwing hard punches so that he allowed Mac to open up because he knew I'm going to catch him when he opens up. Why work for something that's going to be there already for you being handed over?
You know, I thought there was a little bit of that of him luring him in, but I just thought that he looked very rusty. You know, he's not a guy that fights very often for whatever reason, you know, whether they're waiting to get him on network, which doesn't seem that interested until this weekend of getting him on. But he's fought like, you know, I think this is his fourth time in 2 years. And for a guy at his level, and really with his style, he's almost kind of Glenn Johnson in some ways. He's that workmanlike guy.
Right.
You know, it's not really a one-punch guy. He's an accumulation guy, like you're saying. He kind of picks away at your ribs with one shot every time you get near him. Maybe he'll work in an uppercut or some other shot that slowly kind of breaks down your guy. But I thought for the first half of that fight, of however long it lasted, he looked very rusty and kind of off and didn't really know what to do with Mac at first. You know, he had to be kind of steady and take what he can get. And then he started to do that. But I really think this is a guy that needs to fight more often, particularly with his style. It's very exciting. People will get, you know, he'll get into consciousness and people will want to see him more often. But I think also just because of his style, he needs to be sharp all the time. He can't be like a Margarito or somebody like that, that wakes up slowly in the fight and always banks on being able to get you down the stretch, because he might run into somebody that you know, like a Pascal or even a Chad Dawson, who's going to be able to keep those wheels for the whole 12 of the fight and avoid you. You know, he's got to be able to do something a little bit more in the first half of the fight. And granted, I like watching Cloud every time. He's always exciting. There's always kind of a tension with him because you get the sense he's going to get his guy out of there or do what it takes to do it. But to me, I just saw a very rusty fighter who needs to fight more often.
I didn't see that.
He found his rhythm probably in round 4 or 5 and then stepped it up.
You know, I disagree. I really didn't even see that. I saw a guy that used the jab as a strategy to walk him back, and really knew I had a sense that Cloud knew that this guy was mobily, he was a lot more fluent than himself, you know. I saw a guy using the jab and waiting for him to cower up so he can land some body shots to slow him down in the later rounds. And then you saw him realizing that, you know, when he would throw big punches, Mac would curl up. Mac was able to slip him and really cover up with the gloves up high. The thing I liked about Cloud, though, was that he was getting hit, but and when he did get hit, it was noticeable. But he kept his hands up high. He was pairing, you know, fairly good, you know. But I had the sense that he knew that when he opened up, Mac was able to kind of pair off of him and get away from me. I thought he was like, you know what, I'm going to settle down a little bit more, look like there's no – kind of make him feel there's no steam behind these punches, so that when he opened up – because that's what he was doing. Mac would open up after, you know, Cloud would throw maybe 4 or 5 punches in the inside. Mac would open up, and I kind of got that impression that that's what Cloud wanted him to do, was open up so he can land some of those short hooks. And, you know, it wasn't one of the short hooks that caught Mac on the way out. It was a outside wide looping hook, but it definitely caught him and it was able to hurt him. And you know, all around, I like what Cloud was able to do in that fight. But you could be right. You know, he could have been a little rusty, but what I was watching, I didn't see a rusty guy. I saw an intelligent guy that was using what he's able to provide, his resources, against a guy that was going to be a mover and not try to make it an inside or an exciting fight. He was going to pick him and counter him throughout the whole fight. Where does Cloud go from here? You know, Sean Pascal, which you just mentioned right now, was out there. A lot of fight fans feel that he was out there scoping him out. I think it's a great matchup. You know, some fight fans were a little upset and confused. Hopkins is facing Chad Dawson in October. You know, they're saying, why didn't, you know, Chad and Pascal fight again? Only thought I can think of is that if Pascal was to win, would it be an interesting matchup for Hopkins to take on to fight Pascal in a third fight? I don't think it would. I don't think that's what Golden Boy would gear up. I think Golden Boy realized that Chad was supposedly being avoided by Bernard Hopkins, so they wanted to make that fight at the right time. Timing is always everything for promoters and fighters right now in this era, or not in any era of boxing. But, you know, Tavares Cloud, he's just got it, just like what you said. He's a guy that's not fighting consistently. He's going to have to fight consistently because he's just going to have to find. He's going to have to create opponents, or he's just going to have to wait to see what happens to the Super 6 guys at 168. You know what I mean? It's kind of shitty, you know, that Cloud is an entertaining guy, and you get a sense he's going to knock out his guy like you just mentioned right now. But he's really in a position where he's in the mercy of whatever's thrown to him.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. You know, we'll see, though, because Pascal seems to think, you know, well, this isn't a big enough opponent for me. You know, last I checked, nobody's really clamoring to see your next fight. You know, you are John Pascal, and you were kind of boring.
I say he knocks
boring,
out Pascal,
but
to tell you the truth. I think he knocks him out just because Pascal
so.
Gasses
you know,
out. You know, he gasses,
out and Cloud is a guy that knows how to really put the work in and is young enough, unlike Hopkins, to be able to consistently put in that work over the fight. You know, he's not going to just do enough to kind of win the round, but also save some energy. He's going to go for it. I think he could definitely stop him. Pascal, I think we'll probably come back down to earth. Maybe he'll realize, you know, I can just go to Canada and fight whoever and make decent money doing that. But if he wants to be back on HBO, and HBO seems to be taking a little more interest in the career of Cloud, then, you know, I think it's a natural matchup. And that way, you know, the thing is, you know, if there was justice in the world, sure, he should be able to get his rematch with Bernard Hopkins, his third fight, and get a chance at getting his belt back. That's fair. I didn't think the fight was that close. I don't necessarily need to see it a third time, but
right,
it is kind of fair. But why not go beat Cloud, pick up a belt, if you can, from him, and then state your case that way, that you're still relevant. Give us a reason to want to see the third fight other than justice, you know, because this is boxing. There's no room for justice. It's the Wild West. You know, it's the best justice money can buy in most cases. So go out there and make your own case. Make exciting fights, you know, because other than Cloud, you know, I mean, maybe he could fight, you know, Glenn Johnson. You know, that's an interesting fight at 175. But beyond that, I mean, he's just kind of on the outside looking in. You know, he can go the Butte route and just fight the Bum of the Month Club. But how is that interesting to anybody other than himself and his pocketbook? So, yeah, I'd say give me Cloud versus Pascal right now. It's an excellent fight. And I would take Cloud by knockout. Either you hit the mute or...
Okay, I'm sorry. We're back. I apologize. My computer froze up. Let me see. Is my co-host
on? Am I live
on
now?
Yeah, you're live right now, bro.
Awesome. That's fantastic, Dave. Let me go grab our guest because he's waiting for us. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize. My computer froze up. I don't know. It's been giving me some problems here, and I got to take it in to get checked out. It's been freezing on me here and there, and my kids get on here, so they download a bunch of games. So I don't know. It could be what they're downloading or what they're not downloading and stuff. But the point is I apologize, but we're back on live right now. We still got some David Hay to talk. We still got some David Hay and Klitschko fight to talk about that's going to be happening on Saturday night, explosive heavyweight fight. Then we still got Caballero. Randy Caballero, who's a friend of the Leave It on the Ring, is going to be having his first title shot at Alexis Santiago, I believe. Alexis Santiago, and we're going to have a friend of ours by the name of Tony Whitby. He's going to be calling in and talking a little bit about that fight. But right now, let's introduce the guest that Gable's bringing on right now. Gabe?
This is a friend of ours. We've had him on the show before. It's a friend of mine. We used to work together over at DoghouseBoxing.com. Now Julian's got his hand in all kinds of things all over the boxing world and the world in general. Welcome to the show, Julian Kasdan, our European boxing expert. What's up, Julian?
Julian, how you doing, brother?
Thanks for having me on. Doing pretty well.
Good. So go ahead, Gabe. My bad.
Let's just get right into it, man. Break down both camps, things that you've heard, your take on the fight.
Well, you hear any number of things from both camps. I've heard stories from the Hay camp of knocking down Robert Hellenius and that saying that that's a sign that he'll take out Klitschko. And, obviously there's always the stories out of the Klitschko camp, the fact that he's a consummate pro, so he's always in shape. To the rumors that are being floated by the Hay camp that there might be some dissension there. Those rumors I don't take seriously. But as far as the fight itself, I think it's a good fight. I don't think it's necessarily a good fight in that it's going to be action packed for 12 rounds. Neither guy's got a good enough chin to do that. But it's on paper it's a pretty good fight, and I think that chances are we're going to see a knockout win. So for whoever wins the fight, so that should be entertaining.
There's a lot of different things that people talk about. The styles, how little David Hay has experience at heavyweight. A big question for me, and maybe you can answer this, is how much is Vladimir Klitschko affected by breaking up with Hayden Panettiere? Is that going to play into this fight at all?
I said this to the friend I have over in the Klitschko camp that I never saw the two of them as being right for each other. It just struck me as an odd pairing. Initially, I just thought that Vladimir Klitschko had better groupies than Tiger Woods.
I would say so. Got a nice litter to pick from. Now you've actually trained with David Hay. You know that camp pretty well. Do you think he has fought anybody that has prepared him for this kind of fight?
The short answer is no. He's fought some tall guys before, Makronelli, Gurov. None of them had with the exception of Valuyev, none of them had the height advantage over him that Klitschko does. And the Valuyev fight, really hard to gauge based on that one. I mean, I think everyone is in agreement that Valuyev had been in a state of decline for quite some time, and it really wasn't David Hay's best performance. And they're two very different animals. I mean, Valuyev, a massive man, 7'1", 300-plus pounds, but not remotely as mobile, fast, or hard-hitting as Vladimir Klitschko. So I don't really see that fight as the kind that would prepare you for Vladimir, as evidenced by, what happened with Ruslan Chagaev. Ruslan Chagaev comprehensively outboxed Valuyev, and when he fought against Klitschko, he had no answers, was dominated, and stopped.
Right.
Go ahead, Dave.
When you saw that face-off, I don't know if you had a chance to check that out, Julian, about the face-off and the handshake, and it just it rolled over to the press conference, the handshake. In some ways, you think that a handshake was an importance to Klitschko, and David Hay knew that, because I had the sense that he wanted David to understand the power that he has in his grip. You know what I mean? Kind of like an intimidation factor.
Well, you know, Gabe and I had discussed this away from the show, but I think that in the lead-up to the fight is when most of the mental warfare was really taking place. Not this week, because this week has just been such a seemingly disjointed effort by the Hay camp to rile up Klitschko. It's all over the place, and it's hard to take it seriously. I think most of the mental warfare took place sort of on that press tour, and it seemed like, and I feel free to chime in on this one, it seemed like Klitschko got the edge there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that he was, I have no question that Hay was able to get in his head, but I could see that Klitschko, you know, was kind of getting over on Hay a little bit himself, you know, where there was no answers to particular questions that Wade was saying out of the press tour, out of the conference, even at the face-off, you know, you could see that Hay was covering it up more with jokes. I don't know if you guys noticed that. There was more jokes behind his rational, you know, rationalizing what Wade was questioning, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the issue is here is I think that he may have gotten under Vladimir's skin a bit and that he's aggravated him.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, Vladimir's a consummate professional, and he knows that the very aggressive style he used to utilize when he was with Fritz Studenick ultimately got him in trouble because it forced him to give up his advantages in height and reach, and it really put him in a position to be countered. Or to have a very aggressive fighter, you know, take him out. And I don't think that getting under his skin is necessarily going to make him revert back to that style. I think he knows what works for him. He's been using it for 7 years. I mean, why would you change that? You've been fighting this particular style for 11, 12 fights now, over 7 years. You haven't lost. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to change things up, and I don't think he's going to do it. I think it got under his skin a bit. I think it's probably made him more focused. And I think that's why the mental edge might have shifted during the press tour, because I think at that point, Hay probably realized, I didn't get him to unravel. I made him focused and angry. And what we've seen now in the lead-up to the fight, the showing up late to the press conference, to the public workout, and some of the antics, it's hard for me to take it seriously. Some people make the connection between this and what a young Muhammad Ali did when he first fought Sonny Liston, but I don't see it.
No, it's and I don't see the Vlad pausing at all in it. You know, and it's really weird. I have a few friends over in the UK, and unanimously they all think that Hay won that face-off and that Hay's in Vlad's head. I just don't see it. I mean, from the moment in Face Off, my favorite moment of it, when Max Kellerman asked him about, you know, what was that like to see your brother decapitated like that on a T-shirt, and does that all make this more intense for you? And Vlad took that long pause and just stared at him. And it was Hay that broke the silence.
Right.
He started giggling, oh, this is going to be a great fight. And Vlad said, you just got knocked out. You missed it, you know? And to me, right there, you can't say like the fight was won because they still got to fight the fight. But I think Vlad freaks him out and makes him do things that he doesn't want to do. And if you take that into the ring, as fighters, Vlad is going to be very stolid. He's going to be the guy holding his ground, using that jab and using his physicality. And Hay is going to be the guy kind of searching around for answers when his number one answer, his power and an early blitz, doesn't work. Do you think, Julian, it's going to come down to that, an early blitz from Hay? He's got to come out hot?
You know, I think that he might try that, although you never know. I mean, you look at the Valuya fight where he was incredibly tentative. I mean, we all know that David Hay does not have amazing stamina.
Yeah.
And we also know he doesn't have a great chin. You know, and Vladimir doesn't necessarily have a great chin either, obviously.
Right.
But the fact is that Vladimir knows that in order for Hay to get to him, Hay has to cross a lot of real estate. The same isn't true for Vladimir. So there's no real reason for Vladimir to extend himself in this fight.
Right.
He has the longer jab. He's the taller guy. He has more reach. And he's really not that much slower than Hay. I mean, the difference in their speed is negligible. So the, you know, if you're a smart fighter, and which Vladimir is, you sit there and you let Hayes come to you, and you throw the jab when he's coming in.
Yeah. You don't see, Julian, you know, the thing I'm getting the sense that Hayes' strategy would be to go back to that Ballou style, which is circle, 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 get a way to be impatient, and come in forward, and then he pot shots, kind of make it that boring fight that he did with the Giant. You know, I say if he tries to get reckless, he may be successful, but you know, Vladimir Klitschko's tying up when you try to engage with him has been a masterful thing for him. It's prolonged his career.
I mean, I think if you're, hey, your best shot to win is not what he did in the Valuya fight, because once again, these are two very different animals. I mean, Vladimir,
right.
Vladimir's footwork is probably every bit as good, if not better, than Hayes. I mean, hey, if you look at his fights against Ruiz, if you look at his fights against Valuyev, if you look at his fights at cruiserweight, he doesn't have masterful footwork. He can get himself out of the way, but it's not as if he's moving fluidly. You know, he does often put himself in a position to have his back on the ropes, to be somewhat off balance. So it's not as if he's really putting himself in a position to throw a shot. This is not Floyd Mayweather.
No, no.
You know,
he's no butterfly in the ring.
But if you're Hay, I think your best shot, because you're not a volume puncher, because your best assets are your speed and your power, that your goal is to really try to counter Vladimir's jab.
Right.
I don't see him really taking a lead in the fight. You know, if he tries to charge in and get across that territory, Vladimir will hit him with a jab, because Vladimir's hit everyone with the jab. And yes, Hay is a good fighter, but he's no faster and no slicker than a Chris Bird. So it's not like he's going to magically avoid that jab. Chris Bird couldn't avoid it, and he was a defensively minded fighter, then there's absolutely no way Hay's going to avoid it. So his best bet is to try to find a way to counter it, and try to get Vladimir to somehow be the aggressor.
So, in your opinion, who's had the better camp between these two fighters?
I'd imagine Vladimir. You know, Vladimir's been training at altitude in Austria. He's had the same camp with him for quite some time. And you have someone who's bringing in, I mean, someone like a Steve Cunningham as a sparring partner. Cunningham is, once again, a tall, slick fighter who's fast and really prepares him for that challenge of hitting a faster target. And, you know, I just figured that also in terms of corners. I mean, no disrespect to Adam Booth, but he's not Emmanuel Stewart.
Yeah.
I just think that between the two, Vladimir's probably had the better camp. I mean, these guys have been together now for 7-8 years.
Right.
They know each other. It's a very professional camp. I mean, it's not as if, you know, he started his training in Miami, then went over to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, Vladimir was in Austria, has been in Austria, and where he's training, we're talking about, you know, what, 8,000, 9,000 foot elevation?
Wow.
You know, that builds stamina. Something
it
that
does.
London and Miami can't do for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't
Big
see
time.
How, I just don't see it. You know, I see Vlad in 8, you know, jab, 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 right hand, maybe a hook off the jab. I think Vlad, you know, because he's slowed down his style, we've forgotten how good of an offensive fighter he really is, and you know, people say he's boring and this and that, but then, you know, you turn around and look at a Floyd Mayweather who, you know, is skilled in a different way. He has moments of explosion and he's very impressive in his defense and is very subtle. But, you know, Vlad knocks people out. At the end of his long, boring fights, Vlad knocks people out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not many people have finished fights with him. I think they don't really get the credit that they deserve. You and I both are not pound-for-pound people. But if I had to make a list, he would certainly be near the top of it. He's had a long, dominant streak. He's taken on all comers, number one contenders and also-rans, and he's beat them all. And to me, I look at Hay and maybe see Lehman Brewster, that kind of same explosive style, same body type. but he doesn't have the chin for me or the toughness of a Layman Brewster. I think that's been proven. So I think Vlad in eight. What's your pick, Julian?
You know, I have to go with Vlad in this one, and it really depends on how it plays out. I could see Vlad in eight, but if Hayes backpedaling, I would not be shocked if Vladimir were to launch a hook similar to the one that Slade Ray Austin or took out an Eddie Chambers late in the fight. But that hook will put your lights out, and it's very fast, and it comes at you very hard. I mean, look, David Hayes is a good fighter. He's definitely fought some decent opposition. He hasn't fought the opposition that Vladimir has. I think that's part of the difference between the two fighters. One guy has fought, you know, Sam Peters, Eddie Chambers, Ruslan Chagaev, Tony Thompson, Sultan Abragimov, you know, Chris Berg, even, you know, going all the way back. You look at Jamil McClain when he was still considered a contender. You look at, you know, early steps up like Axel Schultz. I mean, he's been fighting pretty top-tier guys to one degree or another since 1999.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a career that has spanned 58 fights. That's a lot of fights, you know, for a heavyweight. So he's been in the ring a lot. He knows what it is to fight against guys who are big and strong and can crack a bit like a Sam Peter or a big guy like Tony Thompson or a guy like Jamil McClain. He's been in with slick guys like a Chris Burton, a Sultan Ibragimov, and an A. Chambers and a Ruslan Chagaev. I mean, he's been able to figure out that puzzle every time.
Right.
And from a technical standpoint, I don't see what Hay brings to the table that he hasn't seen before. Sure, he's fast. Sure, he hits hard. But Vladimir's fought other guys who are fast and hit hard. And technically, I don't know what Hay has to get beyond the advantage in reach and height. He hasn't shown me the mobility that you would need to really get inside, a la someone like an Alexander Povetkin when he was still looking like the future of the division.
Right.
And he hasn't shown the ability to be a pressure fighter, nor the resilience to stand up to that kind of punching power. So I tend to think that, I think that Vladimir is going to win this fight. You know, Hay could pull the upset, but if you're a betting man, if you're a student of the sweet science, then you see the guy who's got the better resume, the better technical skill, the better physical tools, and logically you would go with him.
Yep, I agree there. Hey, Julian, thank you, brother, for taking the time to talk to us, man, about this fight here. And like I said, I'm really stoked up about this July 1st showdown between these two heavyweights.
No problem.
All right, man, I'll catch up with you, Julian. I'll be calling you around the fight, no matter how it plays out. So thanks again, man. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. See you all later.
All right, brother.
You know, a lot of fight fans right now are on hold. They want to talk about David Hay versus Vladimir Klitschko. Let's patch in some fight fans here, Gabe. Let's see what they think, man. Let's see their opinion about this July 1st showdown between these two heavyweights. Let's go with Jose, who wants to talk Klitschko and David Hay. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring, brother. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up? I disagree with your last caller. I think David Hay is going to win this fight just because I think he has more speed, and I think speed's going to be a factor. Klitschko, they're getting up there in age, and they're just like 1-2 fighters. They only throw that same combination over and over. So I just think David Hay, he brings a little bit more. He's got more tools to beat Klitschko. And I'm actually going for Hay in this fight.
Hey, you know what they say, speed kills, you know, and you're right. You know, Klitschko is moving up. I mean, he is getting up there on age, and he has been comfortable at throwing 1-2 punch combinations. But he's been, you know, ultra successful on that style just because he's a big man. I think a lot of people, you know, the thing I'm not going to take away from Klitschko is the athleticism. You know, he is the more athletic guy than Vitelli. David Hay really goes off of that athleticism that he brings to the table. Overall, it's a good matchup, Jose. Hey, I don't know. It's a hard point to argue with about David Hay. I think there's a strong possibility he could stop the bigger man, Klitschko. I'm going to put you back on the hold, brother, because we do have a lot of calls right now that want to talk about David Hay. Okay?
All right. Thanks.
Let's patch in Leon, who wants to talk. David Hay and Kalisco, you're on live right now, brother, on Leaving in the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on today?
Good, brother. Who do you got?
Okay, man. I got David Hay, man. But the whole thing is in a perfect world, David Hay would knock out Kalisco within three rounds. But in the world we live in today, I mean, you got to look at all the variables in the fight, man. Kalisco is bigger. He's stronger. Technically, he got that good jab work with Emmanuel and that straight right. So I think at this point, if David Hay even has a chance to win this fight, it's going to be by knockout, and it would have to be within about the first three or four rounds. Because after that, I mean, Klitschko's going to be peppering him up with so many jabs and straight rights. Eventually, he's going to drop that hard one, and it might just put him out of there. So I feel like if Hay has any chance of winning this fight, it has to be by knockout, and it will be within the first three or four rounds. If it goes past that, it's just a matter of time before he gets put on the canvas.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, the last caller, he talked about speed, that he has more speed than Vlad, and I agree with Julian. The speed is kind of negligible because Hay tends to wing his shots, which means his shots are going to, no matter how fast they are, they're going to take a little longer to get there because Vlad throws almost nothing but straight shots. And you know, you think back to, like, Mosley, Vernon Forrest is what popped in my head. And Mosley was the faster guy, but he wings his shots a little bit. And Forrest brought into that fight the number one thing that neutralized speed, which is good footwork and a jab. And I think Vlad's going to punish him with that jab and negate any sort of speed he has. Every time he comes in wide, I think Vlad's just going to double jab and step out or grab him. Maybe come in with a right hand behind it. I just think, you know, yeah, I agree with you that it's got to be an early knockout for Hay or it's not going to happen.
What about the clinches? Because you know how Klitschko is. As soon as you get in on him, he starts pissing you. And if the fight is in Germany, so as soon as he's out, the referees are even going to mention it. You know, so every time Hay could even get in on Klitschko, which I seriously doubt, if he does actually get in with some speed and some foot movement, Klitschko's going to hold him.
Well, you know, I think his concern was about that as well as, about the chosen of the ref. I mean, you're right about that. I mean, there should be a big concern about that holding and him putting his weight over the neck of David Hay. I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's what's taken out a lot of the guys that he's faced, their legs, you know. It's been a big problem for other opponents, you know. And rather than just going to a knee, they're trying to lift up Kalisco. We saw that with Eddie Chambers, you know, trying to pick him up and throw him off.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think too, there's a part of it where he's going to have to make Vlad work a little faster and a little harder than he wants to. Because you know, you think back to that Brewster fight that Vlad lost. A lot of it was because he gassed out. You know, his stamina may not be the greatest either. He's just learned how to slow his game down and adjust his game to his size. You know, 6'6" guy shouldn't be fighting hard for 12 rounds. He should slow it down, you know, just jab, jab, right hand, do what he can, kind of wear the other guy out with his body, like you're saying. It's going to be on Hay to really work on those clinches when they come inside, because it's going to happen. I don't care who the ref is. They're in Germany. He's going to be allowed to do what he's going to do. It's on Hay to kind of work out of those clinches and make Vlad have to do something more than just kind of hang on him. Either that or stay away from him a little bit. Make Vlad come to him and walk him into something. I mean, there's some different scenarios here that could happen. To me, I'm kind of going with the chalk. I just think that the favorite's going to pull it out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, do you guys think Emmanuel is actually – do you think his game plan will be with Klitschko to just kind of, you know, play your – and just kind of work your way into the fight, or do you think he's just going to be going straight at Hay? What do you guys think?
I think they're going to do what they always do. You know, I think they're just going to jab, jab, right hand, take your time, not too crazy. You know, Manny has said that, you know, he sees how charged up Vladimir is, and he's kind of had to calm him down. You know, this can't, you know, for Hay to succeed, this has got to be Hagler Hearns. And Manny's been on the bad end of Hagler Hearns. He knows that fight. And it's kind of, I think, an interesting thing to look at Manny. And here's a guy that has been in some very big fights, but he's also been on the losing end of some very big fights. You know, Lewis was kind of his final masterpiece, but, you know, in a sense, I mean, maybe the Rockman might have been the biggest fight that Lewis won, that rematch. The Tyson fight, to me, was a farce. Tyson was done at that point. Maybe the Vitaly fight was probably the best fight that they won together, even though it wasn't complete because it ended on a cut. In some ways, Vlad is kind of a little bit of career redemption, even though, you know, Manny's a Hall of Famer. I haven't really seen him win that Hagler-Hearns kind of prime versus prime fight. This is his big chance with Vladimir. And so I'm curious to see how history will go with Manny in this one. But I think they'll take a normal game plan.
You know, the thing I like about this here is with even with Manny is that when Klitschko, or even with Lennox, going back with Lennox, you know, when they've kind of stayed in that comfortable mode, you know, staying on the outside, the 1-2, using the jab, really to their advantages, you saw Emmanuel Stewart get animated about it, you know, wanting them to do a little bit more to get that guy out of there. You know, I think this time around, you're going to see Emmanuel kind of falling back and wanting Klitschko to fight his own fight, which is that 1-2, may be careful, don't walk into a big punch, let the faster guy come to you, and then you wear him down, and those, you know, tie him up in the inside, and then you catch him in the outside. You know, I say that, you know, Emmanuel is going to just go with the game plan that should be the way Klitschko has fought in the past, not be animated, kind of bring it in the boar fest, allow the punch, allow the KO to come along. That's what I see.
Yeah. You know what's funny about this whole situation, man? It's just like the heavyweight division is really an important division in boxing. I was going to put it to you guys like this, but I'm going to get off the line. I know you got a lot of calls coming in. I have a couple friends that I deal with, and they're boxing fans to a certain extent, but to be honest, they haven't watched a boxing match probably since Mayweather. Mayweather De La Hoya. That's probably the last big match they've watched. And they're actually talking to me about the David Haye fight, asking me if I'm going to come over and watch the fight. They never, ever bring up any type of boxing. So that shows you when there's action in the heavyweight division, it gets people excited. I mean, because they, you know, any other fights, they're never even talking about it. So it really just goes to show that we need more excitement and more entertainment in the heavyweight division. I'm just looking for someone to shake it up, man. Because the Klitschkos are boring.
Yeah.
Really are boring.
I actually kind of enjoy them, but I know they're boring, you know, but I got to give them love because if Floyd gets love, and I find him to be kind of fascinating and yet kind of boring, and I feel the same way about Andre Ward, you got to give it up to him because, you know, I think this is a bit of nationalism. If these guys were two giant white guys from Malibu or Long Beach, we'd love them. We'd worship them. If they were Americans, we wouldn't care how boring they are. We'd like, yeah, but they win. By golly, they're American. But these are two Ukrainian guys who we don't quite get, who even when they make jokes kind of make us uncomfortable, you know, because they're kind of stiff, kind of weird, you know. And so we don't really dig them. If they were two giant black guys, I mean, dude, I mean, it would be like, you know, twin Tysons. You know, people would absolutely love these guys. But they're Ukrainian, and they move a little slower. But you know what? They win, you know. But I get excited when I see any sort of heavyweights. If they're, you know, going to be kind of worthwhile. Sometimes it's just two fat guys and not really heavyweights. But I remember, like, Monty Barrett, Ty Fields. I was excited. I'd never really seen kind of higher caliber heavyweights on a card. And seeing Ty Fields get knocked out and how long it took him to fall when he did, it was kind of amazing to me. There is something different about seeing giant men like that get knocked the hell out versus, like, you know, I've seen a lot of smaller guys get knocked out. So you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, when the heavyweights are right, people get excited, you know. They just do.
Yeah, and you're right. We need something exciting in the heavyweight division. Leon, hey brother, thank you again for calling in. I'm gonna put you back on hold, okay?
No problem. You guys have a good one.
Let's catch in some other fight fans that have been holding on. What was that?
He changed phones. I thought he just brought like a buddy with him. He sounded different all of a sudden. I was like, where'd Dave go?
You know what? My computer froze again. I had to use I'm on my cell phone and stuff. But let's patch in some other fight fans, man, that have been on hold. We do have Tony, who's on hold as well. Tony, don't hang up. Stay on the line, man. We just got a lot of calls right now, and we got to get, you know, fight fans that have been on hold who want to talk to us here on Leland the Ring. So let's get real quick. I'm tongue-tying over here. Real quick, let's get Chris, who wants to talk. Chris Cohen, hey, you're on live right now, Leaving the Ring, brother. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think Hayes really got underneath Klitschko's skin within the last couple of years, and I think he's gonna make, you know, I think Stewart's gonna tell Klitschko to calm down, but I think Klitschko's gonna want to knock this guy out. And I think Hayes gonna make Klitschko a little bit uncomfortable, and he's gonna, you know, quicken up the pace of the fight. I believe he's gonna make Klitschko uncomfortable, and make Klitschko want to bang with him back, and it's going to cost Klitschko, I think, in the end. I think Klitschko is going to probably get knocked out by David Haye in this fight. I'll say about the
first one. We got two guys right now, two or three guys right now that are saying that David Haye is going to be victorious. You know, hey, that's why we love when, you know, fights are being fought in the ring, not on paper here, Chris. You know, we're going to find out who's going to be victorious on July 1st. Hey, brother, thanks for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
All right.
You know what? I'm still on the fence, man. I mean, I like both guys, and both of them are tremendous punchers, and both guys, you know, can be dropped and stuff. But I think more and more my decision is being swayed and a little here. I don't know yet who I'm going to name at the end of all the calls that are being called in right now. But let's get another fight fan. Norman, who wants to talk Klitschko versus Haye. You're on live right now. Leave the week, brother. What's coming up?
I'm on. I finally got on, man. That's what's up. I've been a fan for a long time. 97 Rough. I've been watching your YouTube page since you had the little beef with the talk boxing guy, Gabe. I've been a fan since the day you replaced Doug Fisher on the next round. I remember your first show. I was like, where's Doug Fisher? Like, no explanation of what happened to him. It was like the character got killed off. You know what? Nonetheless, look, I'm here. In all honesty, realistically, I know David Haye isn't going to win. At the same time, I think what he's done is he's given fans that excitement that the heavyweight division hasn't had in years. I mean, Klitschko, the guy's been, you know, he's been champion nearly 7 years, and I can't honestly say I've ever been excited about his fight. I mean, if he stopped fighting tomorrow, I wouldn't even notice. And one of the points I'd have to make, the difference between Klitschko and Mayweather is that Mayweather brings that entertainment value, not necessarily in the ring, but from a personality perspective. He has a wacky family. Nobody wants to watch the 24/7s he's not on. And I think the same thing with Ali to an extent, because, you know, like, I remember talking to my grandfather, and he would always say, you know, Ali fights were boring. You know, people didn't, you know, nobody loved him running around. But at the same time, right, it was his personality. And I think that's what separates guys like Mayweather from Klitschko, is the fact that Klitschko's boring in the ring, and then when you interview him, he's boring. And I think, you know, I know Haye's not going to win, but I would love for him to win, him and Adamek, because we get a chance to be excited about a heavyweight fight again. We get that much closer to maybe even getting an undisputed heavyweight champion, and yeah, I'm excited about it. I love it. I mean, I hope he wins. I know he won't, but, you know, it's fun to pretend for a little. I'm gonna pretend all the way up until the second when they say he's done. I'm going to pretend, yeah, man, he's coming back 7 rounds to nothing. Oh, don't worry about it. He's got it in the bag. I'm going to keep it up.
That's true.
Well, the only thing I worry about with Haye, and people are going to take this so the wrong way, is we already have one Floyd Mayweather. I don't really want another one. In that, say he beat Vladimir, then it's going to be, well, I'm going to retire. And then he's going to hold those belts hostage for like a year or so and hold that win hostage, and we're going to wonder, okay, is he going to fight Vitaly if he beats Adamek, or is he going to fight Adamek? And, you know, I interviewed Floyd last night, and I know a lot of writers get really excited to interview him, and I could literally take about, I think it was about 15 minutes. He made absolutely no sense, wouldn't answer any question straight. It had to be all curvy and random, and start talking about, you know, you ask him about the weather, he starts talking about the time. And I literally walked away after about 15 minutes. I was like, he's not going to answer what other questions I have in store for him, so screw it. And I think David Haye's a little more straightforward, but I sense a difficult guy the same way. You know, I mean, he already came to these fights twice, almost signed them, that he pulled out. I know one of them was because of his promoter, but the other one wasn't. And I don't know. To me, it's just, we already got one guy that's very frustrating, and then we got Pacquiao, who's kind of Floyd Light, and that he never fights who we want him to fight, except that you fight somebody that he's already beaten or that's been knocked out. You know, what I like about the Klitschkos is they do fight everybody. As boring as they are,
there isn't anybody that you can say they haven't fought, you
right.
know, or haven't
yeah,
wanted
they
to
do
fight.
Clean up. They do clean up their division, you know. I mean, there's no rock
yeah.
unturned with the Kalishkos. Where hey, you sit there and it's like he's suspect. You know, it's kind of hard to root for the guy. But at the same time, I hear what you're saying. Entertainment value, he does bring it. I mean, he does. I think that's what makes this
yeah.
fight so exciting and a lot of turn because of the fact that the jibber jabber is David Haye. You laugh. I mean, I laughed my ass off when he said he had a hard on.
You know what that was to do? That's Howard Stern humor.
If you don't like that type of humor, you're not gonna like him at all. But you know, we're Vladimir on that face off when he started kind of, you know, saying the hair and the earring and this and that, and some people are gonna say, I don't know where you're coming from with this one, but I got the sense that he was about to say a racial slur to him at the end. But instead said you're almost like a woman. You know?
Flesh.
Yeah.
What do you think about Adamek and his brother? Personally, I think Adamek has a better chance of beating his brother than Hay has at... Did my phone cut off? Oh, that Hay has at beating Vladimir. See, in my own personal opinion, I think Vitaly's the one that's breaking down. His body's broken down on him. He's getting older. He's more robotic, and I think if Adamek can use his mobility, he can.
I don't know, bro. He can cause some trouble. Are we forgetting how light on his feet he was against Chris the Nightmare? I know he's not athletic as his younger brother, but intelligence wise, he's got it up there. You know, I think he understands his abilities, and I think he understands the adjustments that he has to make. I mean, you know, Adamek too. This is a battle of wits here. We've seen changes in Adamek. We've seen him being able to adapt to bigger men. Now, grant that it's Grant, you know, Michael Grant and them, guys that are not mobile, guys are kind of over the hill. Adamek, though, he's shown me that he's got some of the goods there. You know, he knows that he's not a big heavyweight, so he's got to kind of detour to different things. You know, Vitaly. Same thing here. He's not going to judge a smaller guy. We saw that with Chris the Nightmare. He's not going to judge you by the cover of the book. He's going to judge you off the performance of what you bring. I think it's a good fight, you know. But, hey, Norm, we still got a lot of callers here, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold. We appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. That's the call. Really appreciate it. No problem.
Let's get some other guys in. They've been on hold for quite some time here. Let's get our boy D. Who wants to talk? Klitschko versus Hay. What's up, brother? What's on your mind?
What's up? Gabe, I just want to say you the first person I heard say that, man, of, you know, heavyweight in the media game and stuff like that, about these dudes were Afro-American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, they'd be the best thing since damn sliced bread, man. You know, everybody in I had these conversations with cats around the way, and we disagree on a lot of things, but they agree with me on that. Some are boring and stuff, but if these dudes were American and if they were black or white, people would be all over it, man. I think,
it would be their American right to be boring if they were American.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Yep, it is what it is, and
yeah.
I want to see a good fight, man. David Haye's only chance to win this fight is if he can keep it in the inside and try to somewhat smother Klitschko, man. That's the only way I see him winning. And if he can't do that early on, say the first four rounds, just steady smother Vladimir, he's gonna be in. Shitload of trouble come 7, 8, 9 rounds, I think.
I think that between them, I could be wrong because of the way Vlad fell apart against Brewster, but I think that Vlad can afford to get a little tired and have his technique kind of go a little bit, whereas, hey, his technique starts out all over the place. I think if he gets tired, he's in a world of hurt, like he's saying. I mean, I don't know if you watched the John Ruiz fight, but once he couldn't knock John Ruiz out early, there was a period in there where he was kind of lost. He didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And I thought Ruiz hurt him. You know, Ruiz got to him a little bit. So if Ruiz can do that, and that's probably his best win next to Valuev, I just, you know, I've always felt very confident in saying Vlad at eight. I just think that's how long it's going to take.
Definitely.
You know?
It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see if he backs up when, he's talking. I want to see what kind of game plan, I'm sure everybody else, what kind of game plan he's going to have. Is he going to do what he said he's going to do and attack like he said he's going to do from round one? And he's going to go
ahead
and go and, you know, he stressed on several statements. I thought I heard him, and he's come out on the run thing and said the fight ain't going that long. So we'll see.
Well, you know, there's
really
that
curious,
old saying, you know, you got to plan until you get punched. So I think that's what it's going to come down to, you know. Hey, D, bro, I got to put you back on hold, brother. Hey, thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you on hold, okay? Okay, we only got like maybe 11 minutes left. We got to patch in Tony, who's been on hold. He's a writer, you know, a very entertaining guy. And he's going to talk a little bit about the opponent for Randy Caballero, who's going to be fighting on Solo Boxeo for a title shot against a guy who he has met up against in the amateur rankings, Alexis, I'm just going brain dead right now.
Santiago.
I don't know why I keep wanting to say Saratoga. Santiago. Tony, you there, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
How you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm feeling real good. I'm just as hyped up for the heavyweight fights as I am for this nice Desert Prospect fight that's going on Friday night.
You know, I'm really pumped up. I mean, you know, these past weekends, we've been having some pretty good fights on the cards on Friday night and Saturday night, you know. But this one, it's kind of really ultra special for us. You know, Randy Caballero, before getting with Golden Boy, you know, he was with TKO. We were following him. Now, Alexis is a guy that you've been following. Give us a little bit of information about Alexis, because this is a guy that has fought Randy in the amateur rankings. And what I'm hearing right now from the Randy camp, this is a guy he does not want to overlook and not look bad against. I mean, he's like super focused, you know, to get in the ring with.
You know, sometimes we kind of joke about the fight cards on Solo Boxeo and somehow they can be uneven. But on this fight, I mean, one of these guys is going to lose the row. This is definitely a solid matchup. It's going up against for a WBC youth title. Both of these guys are going to bring it in the ring. Alexis is from, you know, the heart of Phoenix. He's in the central Phoenix area where he grew up at. He's a slick fighter. I mean, he has a good pair of legs on him. Solid footwork. He wins his fights just out of just sheer tenacity, but solid defense. He has a very high boxing IQ, but definitely the most impressive thing is how he's able to slip in and out of the pocket. He can throw multiple punches and combinations. I've seen the last couple of his fights, and I'll be honest with you, it's never a dull moment. It's very hard to, you know, be bored. It's not an American heavyweight fight, I'll tell you that, when you watch him in the ring. I've been following Caballero ever since you guys had a prospect show. I think he was maybe 2-0 at the time. I don't even remember. It was such a long time ago.
Yeah.
So when I interviewed Alexis a couple months ago, and he was telling me that, you know, he fought Randy Caballero in the amateurs, and, you know, he really thought that he could actually get up and take this fight to Caballero, I was very interested on that because I'd like to see that fight personally. And to me, it's really nice to see that it's coming into fruition. It's coming up Friday night. Like I said, I'm just as pumped up for the Friday night fight for this 8 rounds as I am for the heavyweight fight. But when it comes down to breaking down the fight overall, I mean, Alexis has a solid chin, and we always talk about, you know, Caballero having power. To me, this is his biggest test. This will tell me personally, and hopefully other people too, that if Caballero really does have his power, we're going to find out tomorrow night. And I really think, I mean, I've seen Alexis take some shots, and he's been able to capitalize when he can counter off, you know, his opponent. I mean, he's slick. He's very slick.
I was able to watch from him, yeah, he's definitely slick. I like this match overall. I mean, I think anytime you see an amateur rivalry kind of get in kind of move over to the pro rankings, it's always going to spell for something kind of
kind of nice. Never necessarily explosive, but nice, you know what I mean? Because it always kind of tends to who was the winner, the amateur, it kind of rolls over. That guy's still the guy that has something over on him. But with this match here, being so early in their career, this is something that they don't have. You can't really say, well, I respect this guy because he's a champion. Both of these guys are actually trying to make championship, you know, level. So both of these guys are fighting to get to that level. It's not one guy's been a champion and the other guy is now coming in and wanting to become a champion. These are two guys that are really trying to get to that next jump. You know, leave prospect, blue chip, go to the championship contingencies. I like this fight overall. Gabriel?
I like this fight a lot. Actually, I got a chance to interview Randy yesterday talking about this thing. And for him, you know, it's really, being able to fight for this title is a way of kind of stamping his progress. You know, he's come pretty far as a amateur prospect. And to get to this point, this will be the sixth time he's fought this year. He keeps fighting on TV, on telefatures, building up a nice fan base. And now this is kind of a new challenge. He's fighting a guy that's undefeated, that he's beaten before in the amateurs. But, you know, the pros are very different, and Santiago's style might lend itself more to the pros than it does to the amateurs. So I'm really curious to see how he handles this guy. And he also knows if he wins, he gets a little bit of a rest, and then they'll start attacking again for the back end of the year. But they'll probably slow down and put him in more high-profile, more step-up type fights. But this is also unique to me because he's fighting a guy that's undefeated. He's never done that before. Everybody else has had a loss or that kind of a journeyman guy. This is a guy that if he wins, his stock goes way up. If Caballero wins, you know, doors open up for him. I'm picking Caballero. I just think that, you know, they top rank, or rather Golden Boy, picked this guy for a reason. He's 8-0, but he's only got 2 knockouts, whereas Randy's more of the power puncher in this fight. Plus, Randy's familiar with him, and he's fought him before. So I think
I don't know if Randy's going to knock this guy out, man. I think Randy's going to really have to outwork Alexis. I think with, you know, like what Tony's mentioning, we're going to find out whether that power really, really does exist by him fighting an undefeated and a guy that he's kind of familiar with, you know. My thing is does Randy try to go overboard and show that he has power and show him that, you know what, this is the big times now. I hope he doesn't. I hope he just kind of reverts to a boxer puncher because he's definitely going to be fighting a puncher. To me, it's a toss-up fight, but Alexis is going to hostile territory, man. He's going so that he's going to be fighting not just Randy, but he's going to be fighting the crowd here. Great matchup. Hey, Tony,
quick, you're
picking.
Go ahead. I said I actually asked him that very question as far as with him only having 2 knockouts and he's going in the hostile territory where obviously Randy's going to be the favorite. How is he going to handle that? What is he going to do knowing that everybody thinks he's just going to be on his pike the whole time? And he was very clear saying that he's going to take the fight to Randy starting from round 1. I mean, there's going to be no bones about it. He's going to do it in a smart way. I bet you anything he's going to stay in the middle of the ring as much as possible. If Randy tends to bore it out, which I doubt he does, then he may even walk into the ropes on purpose to get Randy sparked up. He's been known to do that. I mean, he's not afraid to actually he wants to stay in control, whether he stays in the middle or he gets in the ropes, and he'll get his shots off. It's going to be an exciting fight, Dave.
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, if we don't get fireworks on July 1st, we're going to get them on Friday night, man, on Solo Motel. Hey, Tony, bro, thanks for staying on hold, man. I apologize. It's been a little crazy today. The computer's been freezing up, but we've been having a lot of calls and a lot of interviews here on Leaving the Ring, brother. Hey, thank you again,
man.
Yeah,
no problem. It's the biggest heavyweight fight in the last 10 years, so no doubt I'm going to be on hold. It's no problem.
All right, Tony.
All right, brother. You take care, Tony. Okay, real quick, Matt, because some people already asked you, okay, well, you heard everybody else. Who do you got, Dave? This is what I'm thinking. Whoever sets the pace, you know, Real Reckless can land something big. Test Klitschko's chins. He's the older heavyweight. See where he's at right now in terms of being an age. It could work for him. It could work against him. But I'm going to go with I got to sway with Klitschko, man, on this one. Even from the first time it was mentioned that these two guys were going to get in, I just saw Hay having a lot of problems trying to get past that jab and that reach. And I just see him, whenever he closed up,
when Hayes been able to close up the guys, he's been able to do what he wants, rather punch, kind of be a little dirty. With Klitschko, he's not going to have that success. He's going to try to rather punch, but he's going to be hitting the back of Klitschko's neck. And Klitschko holds fairly well. He does it really good. So I'm going to go with Klitschko. I think he knocks him out within 5 rounds of David Hayes. But I say we're going to see some explosives here, man. I'm really pumped up, excited. Hey, we didn't have a chance to read the fight schedule because we had we could do 4 or 5 hours. We would have, but we couldn't. Anyways, it's always a pleasure, man. It's always fun having a chance on this. And supporting us here, myself, Dave Wentz, and Gable, we always get excited just to be on the radio show. You know, it's a never dull moment here on Leaving the Ring. I appreciate the listeners and supporters, man. They really support us. Hey, be sure to check out the website and get your questions to the leavingtheRing@gmail.com. We'll either answer it on live on air or we'll answer it back on a circle, okay? Anyways, hey, have a good night. Have a good weekend. Don't drink and drive. Gabe?
Yeah, man, I'm going to enjoy the weekend, enjoy the fights. I got a piece on Randy Caballero coming out tonight. And then next week I'll have a piece on Saturday, Chris Pearson. Next week I've got Kermit Cintron, Brandon Rios, Ronnie Shields, Arislandi Lara, and some more. So check out my stuff over Max Boxing. And, Dave, I'll be calling you after the fights as well. All right, then, man.
Yeah,
peace.
Definitely, brother. And check out for our piece, too. Our very own The Boxing Junkie Cell. I also had a chance to sit down with Randy Caballero. And Mark Ortega's got a great piece coming out with Ken Hirschman from Showtime, answering a lot of questions that we've had about the Super 6 and Manny Pacquiao. So look out for that one there on Leaving the Ring. Everybody else, man, have a great night. And enjoy yourself. Like I said, don't drink and drive. Be safe. Stay home. Don't burn your house on 4th of July.
Don't burn down my house.